Hey there. Welcome to Joel Radio. It's Joel Fragomeni with you. Welcome back to the show. Got a big show today. Corey Hall's back with me. How you doing, Corey Hall?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to spring.
And last heard, trying to break up me and Corey as a comedy team, John Tenney.
Hey, what's going on? Where's my mic? There I am. Hey, there.
Well, you know, that dynamic mic needs to be turned up a little bit more.
Don't give him any ideas.
You got to turn the dynamic up more.
I see. What did you get, a new mic over here?
What do we have? Since you saw us last, I have a new, what do you call this?
Shock mount.
Yes.
Wow.
And we'd like to get Corey a new shock mount.
That's very cool.
And actually, I think that that you're talking into is new, even though I have two of those now.
This Shure microphone.
Shure microphone, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Why don't you talk into it? Give me that other one.
Sure, let's go.
Turn yourself up.
There's nothing wrong with the Shure. No, it's fine. Corey and I need to match.
Do we?
Yeah, we match in so many ways. We must have the same
life. Sure.
Sometimes people call me Joel, and I almost always want to punch him in the face.
Right. Corey and I are mistaken for each other frequently, even though I don't think we look very much alike.
Yeah, I mean, I can easily tell you two apart.
Yeah.
When we ever go out eating, I can always tell by how you guys order pizza.
Okay, exactly. And next on the show.
Thanks
for joining us, John.
I'm a little bit taller than Joel. We're both round.
Yeah.
We both have facial hair. Joel has a goatee.
We're similar proportionally,
beard.
If not size-wise.
Right. You fit inside of each other.
Exactly.
Okay.
But Joel has glasses, and I have less hair on my forehead.
Sure.
So it's not hard.
Yeah.
Tell us apart.
It's pretty easy.
Both of you together, you got one halfway decent guy.
Joel has some swarthy Italian good looks in somewhere in his history, not in him,
right.
But somewhere
right.
in his
somewhere
family.
In me.
And I have a big Jew nose from somebody who lied when they came to America.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Good talk. All right. We're really firing on all cylinders today.
We got a great show for you today. We're going to do this. We got a whole bit. We got a bunch of stuff to go through today. You know, we're going to talk about John Tenney, see what he's up to. And then Corey Hall went to Laugh Fest. We'll talk about that big comedy festival
yeah.
here in Michigan. Corey Hall was our correspondent. We'll talk to him and find out what happened up there.
Yes, sir.
We'll find out which songs are ripoffs of other songs. I think I have what could be the definitive list.
Right. Well, I mean, based on the whole Blurred Lines.
Right. Yeah.
Robin
we'll get into
Thicke
that.
Trial.
Because yeah. they're making them pay $7 million yeah. for that song, which
we
is
have,
retarded.
Joel has our research department.
Yes.
Has dug deep.
Yes.
Crack research staff. Yeah,
crack research staff.
Absolutely. The research
right.
staff from Cracked. We stole their research.
I believe my ass crack was showing while
exactly.
I researched
exactly.
this, so if you can call that a crack research.
But staff. No, we'll blow your minds with the
yes,
list.
Yes, I have lots of I have lots of stuff that no one will care about. It's that deep. It
you,
goes
you
that deep.
You care about it.
I care about it, but I'm not saying is anyone going to care which indie bands ripped off The Fall.
No, I don't think so.
But we'll get into that, too. We got
we
a lot
get
of
into
good
that,
stuff.
Though,
we'll get
the
into
Fall's
it.
The Fall's a good band.
We're gonna play The Fall. We're going to play everything.
Oh, I'm
it's gonna
excited
be
about that.
And
I got to
gonna...
sing once on the show when we were listening to music. I got to.
Oh, yeah.
We did
we've
the whole
sung
Purple
a few
Rain.
Times. We did. We sang for Janet.
Oh,
friend.
Right.
We sang, what was
man,
that?
Man, that romance blog didn't last more than about a week after
oh,
she was on
never...
the show.
Okay, that was what, over a year ago that she was on?
Oh,
was
over it, a year ago.
Is it like a year and a half? Is it
probably,
like almost 2 years?
Probably almost 2 years.
We're going on 2 years that she was on.
Yeah.
And we talked about her romance blog, and I don't believe it ever got updated once.
I don't think
after she
after
was, on,
she
the
was
show.
On the show.
And
I think it was over.
I read, because I read the whole blog. She was coming on. She said she wanted to plug it. So I read the whole goddamn thing. And then I brought up, you know, I made notes,
yeah,
I had
lights,
read it for her, and I think she it sounded as silly. It didn't sound silly to her, so someone read it back to her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
of course.
It sounded fine when she wrote it.
Joel Radio ending career since 2005.
That's not true. I'm still doing stuff.
Yeah, John's still John. Well, there's no stopping John's career.
John's career has actually blossomed in the
it has.
Since he
well,
started
then, doing it. You know, it's as it should.
I'd like to thank the two of you for not being more involved in it.
I know.
If we were more popular, it would have ended his career. But since nobody knows who we are,
I can keep coming up.
It keeps going. It's fine. But yeah, we've got.
I'd like to quickly say on the way over here.
Sure.
I do not believe that the Middle Eastern man in the minivan next to me when I was driving over mm-hmm. here, I don't think it was his minivan. Based on the Leonard Skinner bumper sticker,
okay,
and the flag of Dixie giant heart on the back window, You think that that was probably
I think that was right out of Corey Hall's act, that van, right? Didn't he drive out of your act, Middle Eastern man with the little...
Did my shtick.
Is that true?
That's what Corey's act is, pretty much. It's about, you know, hillbillies.
Oh, right.
I do have a lot of hillbilly material, and then when I go...
You say Hilljack a lot.
I do say Hilljack. When I go to a place with Hilljacks, I then have to modify the routine. I then pull out the whole, the liberal Jew media is trying to screw you.
Well,
material.
Sure.
That's all I, you know, I just
pander. Well, the thing is, you can go to Tennessee and make jokes about Alabama. You go to Alabama, you make jokes about Mississippi.
That's the thing.
You go
thing.
To Mississippi, you make jokes about Florida.
That's the thing. No one thinks, oh, wow, look at that.
Tremendous candy John just pulled up, by the way.
This isn't the best... The best chocolate candy.
This is the best, like, old man candy, right?
I'll take it. I'm putting it. It's the ice cube.
Now I believe we have another episode to do.
Which is what?
Old man candy? We review all the old man candy.
Get the bit of honeys out. Well,
we know
blackjack.
We know our feelings about, you know.
Yeah.
You know our feelings about Toffee Faye,
the original, right. The old man candy.
But, I mean, there's the York peppermint patty.
The Werther's original.
Werther's original.
Why? What is the magic behind the ice cube?
I know. I looked it up.
That makes it feel cold.
Oh, what makes it feel cold?
Like, I'm eating it now and it feels cold.
Well, apparently there's coconut oil in this, which I think gives it that melt in your mouth thing. We're eating ice cubes.
Wow, it's delicious.
Little ice cubes. And I
actually just picked up the coconut flavor when you said that.
It's coconut oil that they mix with the chocolate, which means it has a higher oil content than normal chocolate, which makes it melt easier.
Well, whatever it is, they should be putting that shit in every piece of chocolate.
I looked up, like, ordering these, because you can really only... You get these at 7-Eleven, I guess?
No,
you
know? I got these at the something mart.
Because they'll have them on the counter of the convenience store. That's pretty much where you see these.
Yeah.
And I looked up getting, like, you get a bucket of these, like 6 pounds of ice cubes. And apparently,
you can get a bucket
of these.
Joel,
no, but listen,
Joel, rubbing his big stomach
while he talks about getting the bucket. But the problem is that you can't ship these
because they melt
normally
out?
Because they'll melt. Yeah. So
gotcha.
Well, they
if you go to Amazon and try to order these, they go like, yeah, we can't really ship these, or we can't guarantee that.
That's you know.
So how do they get to the stores?
I guess they'd send them in a refrigerated truck.
Well, send them to my fucking house in a refrigerated truck. What am I, a schmo?
But you've got a store, like, probably a block and a half from your house that has these, I'm sure.
That is true.
But they're relatively expensive per piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were
those 50 cents each or something?
That was $1 for $3.
$1 for $3. Yeah, so they're 35 cents each. That's a lot of money.
Pretty expensive for a candy, but delicious.
I got two bites.
Well, I put the whole fucking thing in my mouth. It's done.
Well, you're...
By the way, if you didn't notice, I have a second drink.
You do. What is that? Mike's Harder Punch?
It's Mike's Harder Spiked Strawberry Pineapple Punch. I'm drinking right now. I'm drinking Lavish Vodka Cocktail.
Get a cup. I might need to try this.
That's almost gone. This is almost gone.
Nothing like a vodka in a can. There's nothing like that.
This is 10% alcohol.
The little one. But it's a tiny can, though. That's like a Red Bull can.
Yeah.
What was that, 12 ounces, maybe? 8?
Huh?
10?
It doesn't even say.
It's 8, 10, something like that.
It doesn't even say.
It's about a can of soda. It's about that size.
Right. Now, the Mike's Hard.
That's 24 ounces?
24 ounces.
24 ounces. Okay, so it's 2 cans.
So by the end of this bit.
So I'm saying, Tenny, why does this Kink sound like this Doors song, You're Gonna Be Laying on the Floor?
That is true.
Okay, well, let's.
But I'll be able to give you a good answer.
All right, sounds great. All right, Corey, why don't you? We'll let you start the show with Laugh Fest. What went on there?
Laugh Fest.
Let me explain people what this is, and then I'll let you take over.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, you know.
No, I mean, I could explain it, but
okay. Well, Laugh Fest is now. It's actually the official name, I believe.
That motherfucker was there.
Well, I was going to explain, and then he can tell us what.
Why don't you let this fucking guy talk?
You know what, Tenny? Yeah, no one needs your bullshit. Okay?
I'm just saying.
No.
I got sense.
Because it's just a more, you know.
Did you perform there, Corey?
Corey could talk.
Did you go there, Corey?
Yes.
What the fuck are you talking
it's
for?
It's a dialogue between two people.
With a third person.
Corey, what's Laugh Fest?
What is Vietnam? I ask my daddy that every night. Gilda's Laugh Fest is it's about a 10-day festival in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The jewel of Western Michigan, Michigan's second largest city. And it is put on by the Gilda's Club of Grand Rapids, or Western Michigan, or whatever exactly it is, which is Gilda's Club, is the, thank you, the charity for Gilda Radner, who they have a Royal Oak branch, which is the original,
but right,
because she grew up in the Detroit area. Anyway, so it, they raise money for grief counseling.
And really, cancer research,
cancer,
right?
Cancer research, but also part of their mission is to help the survivors,
right,
and the families and that kind of stuff. So
now, before you get too deep,
it's
into
good, it's
that,
a good cause. I mean,
sure,
let's really bum out everybody.
I don't want to bum anybody
out,
but,
cause, but yeah,
talk about for a second. Isn't there some controversy with that right now? Because a bunch of Gilda's clubs want to take Gilda off the name of
there's
the club.
Well, you know, every charity has...
They don't think people know who Gilda Radner is anymore.
She's not relevant,
so they
according
want to
the...
Yeah, so yeah, they want to take her name off of it. Huh. And the whole point of her having her name is so that she doesn't become forgotten about.
Yeah, well, so that gives the charity more.
But that's why... I
think Gene Wilder told all those people to fuck off.
Did he?
Well, he probably should. But look, are they going to take the name off Carnegie Mellon? Or any of the stuff that, you know, Andrew Carnegie Foundation, because
well,
he's been dead for 70 years. I mean, are they going to do any of that? No, that you're right. When they start a charity or a charitable trust or foundation, it's generally to keep
no,
it
but
they, Rockefeller.
I don't know who Forbes they, is. Is they, Forbes, was Forbes a guy?
Yes.
I don't know who the fuck that
but
is.
They, but they do this. They actually do this with a lot of things where they name a school after somebody, then somebody donates a lot of money and they rename the school. I mean, that does happen. I mean, isn't it?
Well, I know over by my house, Lisa's Nails used to be Nancy's Nails.
Wow.
I don't know what so, I mean, I know that they do change that stuff up.
I didn't know there were any
but
Vietnamese women named.
Isn't what is? Isn't the hall at Lincoln Center is going to be called the David Geffen Center
yeah,
now? And it's already named for
yeah,
somebody
but
else.
When you start renaming stuff, you end up with.
Well, that's
you
what
know,
they're doing, though.
Candlestick Park becomes
David Geffen
know,
gave $75 million.
Jack White
this.
Theater at the Masonic Temple.
The Jack White Theater, because right, Jack White gave a bunch right, of money. They right, named the theater after him.
I believe
dickhead that guy is.
I went and made jokes about him in the
speaking
Jack White
of
theater,
local dickheads. I believe our own Bob Ritchie gave money to name something at the Detroit Historical Center.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like the Kid Rock Music Expo.
Yeah.
No.
Would he give $1.50?
For cheese fries at the Lantern,
something
which
like
he owes
that,
us.
Oh, that right, we never, we you can't ever hear.
Heard his new song about growing up poor down in the South.
Mm-hmm. When that, we start retiring bits from this show,
yeah,
the Bob Ritchie owing me $3 at the Lantern
I
is
know,
going to go into the Hall of Fame.
We will.
It will be. It'll be retired into.
I'm going
to
make a one-off shirt of that.
What's that?
What?
Bob Ritchie owes me $3 from the Lantern.
From the
fries.
Lantern Royal Oak,
yeah.
Main Street.
We're
going
to make a one-off
cheese
shirt
fries.
Of cheese fries.
Yeah. All right. All right. Look.
And there'll probably be 1,000 people who will want that shirt because he probably owes 1,000 people $3
well, that,
for cheese
Corey,
fries.
Corey, Laugh Fest sounded great.
Yeah.
Joel, what are we doing?
So explain. Keep
all
going.
Right. Anyway, so Laugh Fest is like a 10-day festival. I was only there for a few days, but I went over the weekend and I caught. I did a little show, but it was, you know, an open mic that was not well attended. There's a million events that go on.
That is,
I mean,
that is,
have,
yeah.
They have like all day long. They've got panels and
sure,
there's like yoga and
well,
there's movie screenings.
That
of,
is
of,
the,
but it's like Happy Gilmore.
Comedy,
I mean, they're showing like you
and
know.
Look, as much as I'm in comedy, and as much of a fan as I am of it, I really think the comedy festival. I don't know who goes to those because I feel like comedy is something you probably go to. You know, once, and then you're good for 3-4 months, I feel like. You go, you watch a 90-minute show,
yeah,
and most people are satiated with the amount of comedy,
well,
and they don't really need more. And I feel like if you go and just watch comedy every night for 10 days, sometimes, you know, two shows a night, I feel like, God, you would be a bitter old prick. Now, granted, I work in a comedy club, and I'm watching two 90-minute show every night,
yeah,
every night,
well,
and it's the same show. And I get burned out, and I, you know, believe me, even the funniest people aren't funny when you've seen them for the fifth time in
but don't
three
you think
days,
a lot of like a lot of festivals and stuff like that, don't you think that they're existing solely on the increase in how much people love to have a reason to get fucking drunk?
Well, there's that too, sure.
Yeah,
I mean, any
no,
festival's an excuse.
Like 10 days to getting drunk.
But,
look, yeah, let's put it
like,
in a college town.
I've gone to a lot of like music festivals, and that I feel like you more watch casually, and so it's easier
right,
to do.
For sure.
Film festivals are the same way. Believe me, I've gone to some film festivals, and my eyes were bleeding by the end.
Right.
You know, those are tough to take, I think, too.
Because
I feel like the more intently you have to watch it, the less you need to watch it.
You don't need a cup for this?
I'll get you a cup. Go ahead. You go talk about Laugh Fest.
You talk about Laugh Fest. You go
get
him a
cup.
Get him a cup.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
The thing is, I don't... You're right. Joel's right. Going to a comedy festival when you're a comic, you wonder who the audience is.
Right.
Every show I went to, though, was sold out. They were packed houses. And, you know, people were all excited to see these shows. I don't know if the people, because you could buy individual tickets, I don't know how many people went from one show to the next, which to me was kind of the fun thing, because you could go see, you know, you could hop from one show. And
but
then,
you would
and
think a lot of people, you would think a lot of people would buy like those all access passes.
Yeah, and there were pass structures and different, you could buy tickets for such and such shows, or you could just buy individual tickets. Thank you. So that aspect was fun, and it's obviously for a comedian, you get to see a lot of guys that you don't see all the time.
Sure, well, there's networking.
I saw Dave Dyer over there, you know, and I saw a lot of guys from the West Side that we don't get to see, from the West Side of the state, and hung out with those guys, like Steve Pierce, who I owe a PBR to, much like I put that out on the record, so I'm not...
Yeah, okay. Well,
so he's
sure.
not chasing me down in 20 years okay, like I am with
a T-shirt. Okay. With a T-shirt that Corey Hall owes me a PBR.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, that was from that aspect. It was cool to kind of see everybody in town.
Yeah.
At one, because you don't comics don't often see.
That is true. Yes.
I mean, you'll see a lot of open micers, but you won't see other guys on your level once you start getting, you know, a little bit higher up in the ranks. Not that I am, but you know.
Yeah, when you get successful, you don't see
headliners. Don't get to see because they're out on the road.
Who were people headlining at this thing?
There were huge, you know, Patton Oswalt was there. Yep. Although that show I missed because I was at another show, and by the time I got over there, it was already packed up to the gills.
For sure.
But I saw Brian Posehn, who I worked with last year, but he was excellent as always. Really good. Stu McAllister opened for him, who was a West Side, I don't know, what do you want to call him? The capo? Anyway, he's
a comedian. From he's the West a. Side.
That's what you want to call him, Joel?
He's a comedian from the West Side.
Would you look at the broken ruins of a man who's been doing comedy for 50 years?
Well, wait a minute. I thought this is the portion of the show where I let Corey talk. So I'm working on notes for the later part.
Oh, you're fucking mad now?
So I'm looking at I'm working on the latter portion of the show.
Oh, I forgot. You know what? Although he's here every fucking episode, I did forget this is Joel Rady.
No. But
not Corey and Joel Rady.
Like Corey wants to talk, and Corey, because I didn't back up his comment.
Why don't you put some fucking pants on? What are you, an adult?
I'm wearing shorts.
You're wearing, what is this, fucking recess?
65 degrees.
Put some fucking pants on.
All right, listen.
Be a grown man.
I'm wearing slacks like a middle-aged man.
Listen, so am I. Right. No, you're wearing slacks like a fucking adult.
Exactly.
I like Stu McAllister. I have no problem with the guy. I don't know why you're making it. Like,
no, you just, you're drifting out over there.
But you said Stu McAllister opened the show, and you left me like some place to comment on this thing.
No,
and
West
I'm going,
Side Comic.
West Side Comic, and I go, okay.
I was just giving a shout-out to
Stu. I confirm what Corey said.
Anyway,
I acknowledge your statement.
I will say the crowds are packed. Now, I got to see there was like a national comics showcase or whatever for guys that are not guys. That Kyle Grooms was one of the guys there who has some TV credits. You might see him on like Conan, but they aren't quite, you know what I mean? It was guys that are kind of emerging. Dan Sorden was really good. So that was fun to see those guys. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Posehn was great. And then I saw, the next night I saw Bo Burnham.
Okay.
And
I've heard of him.
I have some audio, but I couldn't explain it to you. It's really, his show is like, it was in a church. First of all, it's in this big, the Front Street Church, I think it's called. And it's, you know, well, Patton was there too, but, you know, it's this big stained glass everywhere. It's this big, huge church. And it had this crazy, weird cathedral feeling to it because he's doing the show. He has a lot of lights and a lot. It's a very stagey production. It's not just like, you know, Brian Posehn is you know, a guy in a hoodie and a Rush T-shirt he was wearing who walks up and just does his show. Bo Burnham's got stagecraft. He's playing the synthesizer. Hmm. He's got a big keyboard.
What do you think?
He's very millennial. That is like four kids and 20 somethings. He's in his mid 20s.
How many people are at these shows? What's an approximate like at the Bo Burnham show?
The Bo Burnham show, that place was pretty big. So probably 700-800. I mean, I'm not quite sure how many that maybe if it was 1,000 possibly at that church. And the Posehn show was like 200, so it was a smaller rock venue.
Yeah, so I was going to ask about the venues because that's sometimes, you know, the festivals I've been in with, the big names will be in the theaters, And then there's a bunch of other guys that are like playing in the laundromat down the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
there were a lot of venues.
A little, yeah. Like,
and there were a lot of bars.
Kind of as if they throw up a backdrop and they put a mic up there and call it a stage.
Yeah, there were a lot of bar shows and a lot of, that was what a lot of local guys were doing. But yeah, the Posehn one, I don't know, it's about 200 or so. It's a, you know, like a regular comedy club size. Mm-hmm. It's a cool venue. That place
and this
is
called, was 10 days long?
10 days long.
Yeah, where was Posehn at?
He was at a place called Pyramid Scheme,
okay,
which is like a cool bar. It's a, it's got pinball up front. Right. It's kind of, if it was in, if it was in Detroit, I'd go hang out at it. But
I'm trying to remember the venue. I did an ICP wrestling show in Grand Rapids at a rock venue. I can't remember the name of that.
Rapids,
it wasn't Pyramid Scheme.
The GR.
Yeah. The GR
is hopping.
The G Raps.
Oh, I used to play at the big club there.
But I mean, shit's going on there.
Yeah, it's a town. Like, it's a real town.
It's really not what it once was. You used to go to Grand Rapids and go, what, this is kind of like.
You used to go to Grand Rapids because you were going to Traverse City.
Right. And you'd stop at a gas or something or breakfast.
I was just there a couple of years ago to go to the art museum.
Right, which is where
it's crazy.
Yeah, they
which
have a nice
was where the headquarters was for the festival. Anyway, I thought the festival was really well put together and exciting, although the volunteers didn't always know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then our friend Brad Wenzel opened up for Pete Holmes.
Brad was on this show.
Yeah.
Doing the O'Maras. He was on one of the O'Mara shows last year, about a year
ago.
Brad Wenzel was on. You were on the O'Mara shows.
Was I with Brad Wenzel?
I don't think you were, but you've performed on those and you heckled people from those shows. I mean, lots of.
Hey, I won something at O'Mara's one time.
You won a show?
I won something.
From me?
Don't you remember I won some?
It was a scratch-off lotto ticket. You won $20.
No. I won some kind of comedy thing.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know. Cause maybe you did.
Well, look for John Tenney next year.
Yeah,
Gilda's
Laugh Fest.
At,
right, yeah.
I'll anyway, fuck up there. You motherfuckers.
Tenney goes to tons of festivals that are, you know, the paranormal festivals and the pop culture festivals. Those aren't that. They're a little bit different because maybe those aren't based.
My paranormal lectures. I'll tell you this right now. And I don't mean to float my own boat, but my paranormal lectures are funnier than the majority of stand-up comedy act in Michigan.
I would not disagree with you. Your stuff's, you're good. I always tell John he's one of the funnier comedians I've seen who isn't
John's good. Look, John's performed on the show. We think I've always encouraged John any show that I was doing that he can get on stage.
You should really do one of these storyteller kind of things.
I've thought about
when
it
they
before.
Do the Moth and that kind of stuff. You should really.
I've thought about it before, but I listen to like the Moth and all these storytelling things. And these people, like, they sound like they've practiced their story.
Oh, the stories are written now. Yeah,
you know what I mean,
John. I've known you for 25 years. I've heard your stories. They're practiced.
No, but I'd like to.
I'm just saying,
it's true. But I mean, I'd like to go somewhere and do something that's improvisational.
Sure.
And I know, like at the Moth, they give you a.
Well, they do. You could go to.
You pick a. They pick a topic, but they tell you 2 months in advance what the topic.
They,
is.
I know somebody that did one of those recently, a storyteller thing, and there was a rehearsal.
Right.
Yeah. Where they all ran through their stories on stage before the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is more rehearsed than you think. It's more like a play or something than it is comedy. Right. Comedy is more like anything could happen than a storytelling event.
Right.
I will give Pete Holmes credit for his. Pete Holmes' style is very. He laughs at his own jokes. He's very smiley. He looks like John Ritter, like a pastier John Ritter.
He looks so much like a young John Ritter.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? And Wenzel tore it up. That was in the theater.
Okay.
Was the Wealthy Street Theater, which was kind of like the main art theater size, which might have been a movie house at one point. But that was a little theater. And Brad Wenzel tore it up, had a great set.
Brad's funny.
That was a hot crowd. That crowd was really into them. Pete Holmes was fun
because
it's a totally different style. It's just very, like, goofy, smiley. I don't know what his stuff's about, honestly. It's really...
Well, like, I listen to his podcast.
Yes.
Because he has a podcast called You Made It Weird.
Right. Which they did an episode of at 3 o'clock. And
which
then
is, he asked people about, like, their first sexual experience.
Okay.
God and death.
No.
Yeah.
And like that's
sounds like one of your shows.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But he is like insane manic. Like
it's really high energy.
It's really high energy.
His improvs were good.
Yeah.
He really was good off the cuff.
I only know him from that TBS show that was on after Conan, which was kind of funny at times, but also just kind of weird. And
when I hear him on Doug Benson, he's annoying because he's got that manic energy.
Yeah, that's that you could take away annoying from Pete Holmes, but
Well, in a game show setting, he's really annoying.
Okay.
In a stand-up show, it was enjoyable. Bo Burnham, I don't really know if I get it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of singing. It's a lot of a lot of strobe effects and call and response. It's like a rock show kind of vibe.
Yeah.
He's a skinny little dude who's 24.
Yeah.
And I thought his jokes were good, but they didn't have that depth. You know what I mean?
Hossein's
a guy who's lived his whole life and has the weight behind it.
I mean, generally, I don't know anything about Bo Burnham, but generally in comedy, the guys that have all the stuff that's not just telling jokes, there's a reason they have all that stuff is because they're not good at just the telling jokes.
Right.
There's something, there is a path of least resistance of, hey, I'm just going to talk and people will laugh at it. That seems to work for most guys.
Well, he had one song that was like country music song, and he just was like, sounded like any Blake Shelton song. And he's like, I'm pandering. Like the whole thing was about how all the lyrics are just, I'm playing my own.
Okay.
I say truck and y'all jizz in your pants. Mm. He did that. And that was a funny song, but it wasn't really, it didn't. We all observed that they're pandering.
Right.
At times he was doing songs and I didn't know where the jokes were. It just sounded like he was just doing auto-tune like fucking Kanye Westy kind of shit. And I was like, I don't know where the jokes are.
Now, this is what's interesting to me. And
people were laughing though?
He was tearing it up. Oh. And that was a weird sensation where I cut off Tenny. I'll get to John in one second. But you're sitting in an audience of, surrounded by a huge crowd that's just dying laughing and you're going, okay.
But you two can answer this question for me, which is only like two or three times in my life have I attempted to sit down and write jokes.
Sure. Yeah.
Which you guys probably do that, right? Or at least not the actual literal process of writing, but thinking it over and thinking it through and editing and redacting in your mind until you get it clear.
I don't normally think of jokes when I'm sitting in front of the computer, but sometimes I take those thoughts and take them to the computer to turn it into jokes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because the two or three times that I've sat down to do that, to help someone else write jokes, I like trying to do that. Mm-hmm. I like trying to create something that's going to seem funny over and over again that's written down on a piece of paper. Because when I do comedy, I will change the tonality of my voice and my body movements to match the crowd.
Sure.
But to write a joke seems extremely fucking difficult.
Well, this is how I do it, and this is my process. I get all my joke concepts, they kind of come out of me, like in a conversation. And I'll either turn to my wife or whatever and go, I should write that down. And then sometimes I'll remember to write it down, and then it becomes written eventually.
Right.
Eventually, by the time I've done it on stage a few times, I know what the wording is. But I don't sit down with a notebook, and I don't think Joel really works that way. I don't know if you really.
I usually end up writing jokes on like a scrap of paper,
right?
And then I'll take those scraps of paper and I'll take them to the computer and I'll type them out,
right?
But you never
just sit down and go, I'm writing jokes now.
No, I don't like go, hey, it's noon, time to write jokes. And there's guys that do that, and I think if you were like paid to write jokes, you'd have to do, if you were going to be on the staff of like a late night show or something, you'd probably have to sit down, and maybe that's good for people. I know there's writers, novelists and stuff, and I don't know if it was Elmore Leonard, one of these guys, and they said, I sat down and it's 10 o'clock, I wake up, I have breakfast, and then I sit down and I write for 2 hours.
Well, that's definitely
when
you're working for a paper or whatever and you're on a deadline, you got to do it that way.
Right, yeah.
But when comics, I think
we just
do it
when we're inspired. I mean, that's how I do it.
Right. I know Chris Newberg will go and be like, it's writing time, and he'll sit down and write.
There's guys who walk around with a book all day, and then that's where
but
the jokes
do a lot of times, do you think because whenever you listen to big professional comedians, they always talk about writing jokes. Yeah. Jay Leno will talk about writing jokes. Jerry Seinfeld will talk about writing jokes. Sit down and write them, craft them, figure out their words, figure out the meter, figure out the pace, and all that shit. But for someone like me, like when I speak, I speak off the top of my head, hopefully from what I remember.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it seems like there's a certain type of comedy I'm attracted to where I think the comedian is doing the same thing I'm doing.
I
which is, I've got a good idea.
But you know what? They're not.
There's because the problem with that is that when you do comedy, you're doing it once in a blue moon. If you had to do something every single night, it's going to end up being rehearsed.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well start it out scripted. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If you're going to do something every night, it has to be written out, or else it's not going to be that thing.
Sense.
There's always times when you come up with something on stage, or there's still always room to invent.
Yeah.
But if you go, you will discover if you do six shows a week, or mm-hmm. you know, you're doing three shows on a Saturday, you're going to go up there and go, shit, I have to know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
Or at least have an idea, or have.
Right.
What guys will do, and like the best, and Attell will do this kind of stuff. He'll have a bunch of ideas.
Yeah.
And then put them where he can play around with them.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's like high level shit. Most guys know what their set's going to be.
I know Attell tapes every show. I've been with him.
And he studies his stuff.
He tapes every show on his iPhone and he does it. See, here's the thing for you, John. You go, I'm going to do comedy. I'm going to get geeked up. Or you know, oh, in a week I got this show. Joel's doing a show. He put me on. He said, I got 5 minutes to do a show. You'll get excited. You'll go do that 5-minute show. But then it's like, if you've got a show that you're not excited for, that you know what I'm saying? When you're on the road and you're driving all day, you're just going to want to get somewhere and go like, okay, what do I do?
Right. You know? Can I just hit these things that'll make them laugh and then I don't right. have to
but,
think
about you know,
it.
Because, or you could go, I'll just, okay, I got to drive this long commute to the show. And then what I'll do is I'll just talk about my commute to the show that day. And you'll find out that doesn't work. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just try to go, well, I'll just talk about what happened to me today. And you're like, well, I was in the car, and then I stopped at the Howard Johnson's for lunch, and I went to the hotel, and
now,
boy, what, you know, and it just gets, it just, it, it's
okay,
now,
so that brings up, what that brings up in my mind as a non-comedian, another good question to ask you guys, which is, Corey went to a festival that's 10 days long. There's hundreds of comedians doing bits.
Yeah.
What is it like? I mean, I think about this just when I do my weird lectures, mm-hmm. which is I don't want to accidentally portray an idea that someone else had that I read as mine.
Yeah.
So when you have 10 days of comedians and everybody's doing stuff and then you get up on stage and you want to say something, is there ever a moment where you're like, oh, fuck, did I think of that or did I hear that?
There, I heard variations on the same joke.
Oh, I'm sure. And
you know,
working at Comedy Castle, I mean, here's a bit that I've heard. I've heard three guys do this in about 6 or 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
When I go, and this would be new to you, I'm guessing most people, and probably Corey maybe he's never heard this bit. I go to my computer and I type in it says choose a password, and I type it in and it says week. And now the computer's heckling me saying week, week, week. I've heard three guys do that in about 7 weeks. Headline. Wow. And these are headliners. These are headline comics.
I have not heard that.
I've heard three guys do it in 7 weeks.
You know my verdict on that premise?
What's that?
Week.
Well, but I'm whatever. The first time. Well, it's funny because the one guy, I heard him do it.
By the way, this is the greatest licorice I've ever eaten in my life.
I don't know what that is. I'm gonna disagree with you and challenge your theory.
Well, I'm just saying right now, and with this much Mike's Harder
fruit punch. Lemonade.
There's only one way
this Mike's Harder fruit punch is not good.
Well, the one guy
have
that
you tasted
I heard,
yours
yeah,
yet?
You tasted the fruit.
I did taste it.
It's
yeah,
not it's, that great.
The one
it's
guy,
very alcohol-poppy.
The first guy that I heard do the passwords bit, I thought it was very funny.
Right.
This guy sounds like a guy who writes all of his own stuff. He sounds like original. I'm pretty sure he made that up. Okay. Second guy I heard it sounded like, the second guy sounded like parallel development, meaning it sounded like a guy who probably just came up with it himself, but it was different enough from the first guy.
Right.
The second guy is not a, I don't know, the second guy probably doesn't have as much.
Name names.
No, I'm not naming names. And then the third guy sounded like he heard one of the other two guys do it and stole it. But, you know.
Right.
So who knows?
That is that's a problem, though. That is a concern because, like, Brian Posehn did a whole chunk on, well, okay. I heard a couple Guy Fieri bits,
mm-hmm.
right? Or Fieri, or whatever the hell the guy's name is.
I've never been able to pronounce his name.
It's spelled Fieri, but it's pronounced Fieri.
Well, I think
there's
in
like
Italian
no
it would be Fieri, but
yeah.
You know, there is a problem with people who, there are people who want to pronounce the words that the language they're derived from, like if it's a French word,
yeah,
they'll always do it in the actual French. And if I think what linguistics people tell you is it's okay to just use the English pronunciation.
Well,
as a native English speaker.
I heard Penn say this on his show. He said, I used to say Nolens, and now I'm like,
yeah,
screw that, New Orleans.
If you're not from New Orleans.
I'm from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So I would not say Nolens.
So I would say if you're not Italian, it's okay to say Fieri.
All right.
You know, my last name no one can pronounce, and I go, it's however you want to say
it. In Italian, Joel's name is Fragumahe.
Wow.
Yeah. Not many
it means
know
carried
that
on a goat or something.
Yeah, it does.
Carried
it
on
means,
a donkey.
It means wrestled a donkey.
Carried on a donkey, yeah. I thought it was.
Chubby podcaster.
Isn't it?
No, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means.
Is there a relative of yours that was carried
my
on a donkey?
My dad was on a donkey. We did this on the show.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it
my
fucking
dad rode
means.
A donkey.
Go with the goddamn bit, no. Joel. I'm trying to fucking
Jesus.
Set you up.
Well, let's not talk, Corey. Talk about Laugh Fest some more.
He's rolling. He's
you are so fucking mad.
If you come in.
That he had something.
Here's
to
what
talk
you do.
About.
You know what I'm mad about?
You spent all day writing down your fucking song list. Corey comes in with real shit
you,
being
no,
out in
no,
the real world.
No.
Did you put pants on at all today?
No. Not at all.
Not at all? That's your life.
I put pants on.
I'll put on pants later.
I get up and get dressed
Listen.
Every day of my life. You know what I mean? Like once in a while, I might sit around.
Okay,
but I get
when was the last time?
Let me talk to Corey.
When was the last time you spent 4 hours on the internet looking for songs that sounded
okay,
similar?
Listen, Corey,
I did not do that. But that, you know, show
Corey.
Prep,
Corey.
Right,
Corey. Corey, I'm going to talk to you for a minute.
What?
Tenny can come on whenever he wants. You know, we have an open door for Tenny.
Pop that. Pop my
we
mic
love
down.
Tenny. We love having Tenny on. Tenny can't drink anymore when he comes on. That's going to be the rule. Yeah, you agree with that?
Why don't you turn
do
my
you agree?
Turn my mic
do
down like you
that?
Did on the first time
you
I ever came on the
it?
Show.
Do you agree with? Do you agree that Tenny should not be drinking alcohol?
Joel,
do you feel? Don't you feel it just makes him
you,
mean?
Look.
Don't you feel whatever
you
we can get
only,
from John? And John's funny. We
I'm right
John.
Here.
I am just talking to Corey.
You think you're the only one who does show prep?
Yeah.
I'm playing a long con for the intervention special.
Okay.
That's what
right,
I'm doing.
Right.
I'm helping by needing an intervention.
Exactly. He's helping by needing an intervention.
So we'll play the progression of Tenny appearances from years ago up to today.
There was one show when I was smoked.
Hammered.
Smoked. I am nowhere. I had two pieces of Louis pizza and a salad before I came over here.
And that's thick pizza.
Yeah, these drinks aren't doing anything to me.
Oh.
Well, here's one more thing
just
about Laugh Fest.
Okay.
We're going to stay on
Laugh
Fest. Now, where was your venue? You said it was in...
I was in the Bob, which is...
You were in like the basement of the Bob.
The Bob is like a 4 or 5 level complex. And it has, which is right downtown across from Van Andel Arena, right in downtown Grand Rapids, where the, you know, minor league hockey team plays. But Dr. Grins is in that building on, like, the third level.
Yeah.
So that's a cool, it's like a kind of a open.
Right. Well, it's like an old warehouse building.
Yeah,
that
it's like a warehouse.
And
it's all bars and restaurants.
Into bars and restaurants.
So
and
it's kind of an adult jungle gym. But, you know, it was all right. I mean,
reception
it was
hall.
Mostly a lot of comics. And, like, there were people at the bar who I think we were doing a comedy show where they were just sort of in the room.
They just happened to be there rather than.
But, you know, it was fine.
Well, that's the thing with that. And this is one thing I'll give because we know a lot of comics, especially young comics, listen to this. If you get invited to a festival, here's my advice on festivals in general.
Right.
Look, people are going there to see the big names. They're going to see Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn. If you get invited, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with going. There's nothing. I'm not saying don't go. My feeling is probably if you're making a decent amount of money at a gig and you have to cancel that gig to go to the festival,
right?
I'd probably take the paying gig most of the time because I feel like, you know, there'll be another festival.
I'm
you know,
sure
there'll be
look,
another
It was obviously good for Brad Wenzel. Who
for sure.
opened
well,
for...
He had a great spot.
He opened for Pete Holmes.
But
and he
three
also,
guys get those spots.
I think he
know?
Also opened for Gerard Carmichael.
Okay, yeah.
So
but don't
he,
sometimes at these festivals...
So that's great
have,
for him.
But don't people have to pay sometimes?
Well,
for
some of them you
festivals?
Do. Apparently at Laugh Fest, and these are all the guys I talked to, none of them paid to get into the festival, which is nice.
That's awesome.
Because a lot of them do...
A lot of them you have to send in your registration.
Right.
And it's,
check for $30.
It could be up to $75 or
yeah,
$100, you know.
Yeah, and those sometimes are not... They're not that they're illegitimate, but it leaves me with a sleazy feeling. You're sort of paying for stage time at that
right.
point. And this festival is more of an audience festival than an industry festival where, like, Just for Laughs in Montreal
right.
would be like that or the old what was the old one in Colorado? The old
the Aspen Comedy Fest
would be like that. But so there,
there's industry festivals, yeah, and, that, and then there's ones that are
this is more of an audience.
This
is an audience festival. So anyway, I'm glad you had fun, Corey. It sounds like a good time.
It was, you know.
And weren't you writing a review for somebody? Did
I wrote some stories for Laugh Button. I don't know if they even put them up yet. So
we'll see. I'll link to them if they're up there.
I'll put them up if they're in.
Laugh Button. Go read Corey's review.
So good anyway, you know, that it was a different, it was a fun thing to do. Okay. But enough of that.
Did you stay out there or did you drive back and forth?
I stayed out there.
Yeah.
I stayed in a horrible hotel that had.
Name names.
It was it was not a red roof, but it had a, you know, it was bad. It was in the, it was the not the best of the Western. But
okay, well, I don't know.
Was it just outside of Fruitport?
Yeah.
I'm sure the hotel prices get jacked up.
Well, the sad part is,
and
I got, you know, whatever, regular hotel price for the place I was at, and the Hilton was across the street. Yeah. And I just kind of looked out the window longingly at the Hilton and went, that's probably got a soft bed. Yeah. That's probably, you know what
that's
I mean? It's
probably like, got a bed.
Yeah. No, I was sleeping on, like, you know, a stack of milk crates.
Well,
anyway, it was whatever. It was a hotel. You know, you do comedy.
You do comedy on the road. You stand
as
dumps,
long
yeah.
as there's not a corpse in yeah. the in the actual room sure. or something's on fire. Yeah. You're pretty much.
I've had that. Though.
Yeah,
I checked out of a hotel and it was on fire.
When you checked
like,
out,
I was leaving the hotel and there was a police. There was a fire truck.
Yeah.
And the cops, and there was smoke pouring out of one of the upper floors as I walked out.
Now, I know. Let's really just quickly.
It wasn't I didn't start the fire.
My room had a jacuzzi tub.
Oh.
And it was the saddest thing. It was the saddest thing in the world because I'm just like.
One guy in a jacuzzi
tub.
Yeah,
because I'm like, my wife's not here. Yeah. I'm sitting by myself with a jacuzzi tub.
One of those UP casinos, they gave you this baller room with this giant bathtub, and it was like. There's nobody here.
Well, this was
one time I.
This was a jacuzzi tub in an otherwise shitty room.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have
there was a VCR button on the on the you know TV. Yeah. They had like a tube TV.
That bathtub's not for bathing; it's for fucking.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And I just was like, I didn't even realize that there was
more jacking it.
Yeah, I was gonna say one guy can use it too.
That's right.
It's still fun, Corey.
And now I'm thinking I should have really thought that through.
All right.
No, wait a second, quickly, because we were talking about hotels before we do 2 hours of music.
Yes, we're not doing
just that. Quickly.
Yeah,
we've all spent a lot of time in hotels, both good and bad.
Yes.
What, first of all, do you have a go-to food that you pick up before you go to the hotel?
That really depends. I ended
I'll
tell you what. Whenever I travel,
yeah.
First thing I do is I stop and I get a loaf of bread, a jar of peanut butter, bananas, and apples for the hotel room.
Okay.
That way I have some food.
Yeah.
So you don't have a go-to food?
I generally don't because I'm eating on the road or I'm not going to be there long enough to
That's actually a smart way to travel, John, is to bring your own food. I mean, I brought like trail mix granola cranberry stuff for the car.
Yeah, I'll bring Pop-Tarts or a thing of gummy bears in my bag, but that's about it. I don't normally make food.
Have you ever cooked on the coffee machine?
I don't think I've tried. I once tried to light a joint off of the coffee machine and the iron. Neither of which worked, by the way. I've been in a hotel room.
Well, we did once make in a Holiday Inn, we made a bong using remember the they had this paper coaster for the cups.
Oh, okay, for the cups and like the ice bin or something.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
With Warren Durso?
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
We took a Mountain Dew bottle and
we made a bong with him. Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Remember it because I call it because it. Okay, so when you flip the cover over, it looks like a little Vietnamese hat.
Right.
So I called the bong Charlie,
and then we used the top of a pepper shaker.
We
didn't
used
we?
The top of the pepper shaker
put,
for the screen
to put the weed. Yeah, we turned it upside down. Yeah, the little metal part. Packed it with me. Yeah, we're comics.
Fucking
we're
comedian
improvising.
Wow.
I always love when you're with the comics who are like, you gotta put towels under the door.
Yeah, and the guys put the towels under the door.
I meant when I said cooking.
Yeah, I know cooking. I know.
No, I generally
we're cooking our meth in a hotel room.
I meant, you know, going and getting the
No,
the macaroni and cheese that needs hot water. No, you put that on the burner, and then you just let the water go through.
I'll eat the little Hormel meal. I actually ate those at home, actually. The little Hormel chicken and potato meal.
It's too sad for me.
I know, but I'll take those on the road because those travel well, and you just microwave them.
Plus, you like them, you eat
them
at
home. And I like them. I eat them at home, and they're cheap. But here's what I have done. I've had white. I stayed at a hotel once. It was next to a White Castle. So I made that mistake. And though I threw, here's one thing I've learned though. I threw the leftover White Castle thing out the door.
Yeah, you can't.
Meaning if you leave it in the hotel room,
you can't leave
them
in your
hotel
room. No. That's like leaving White Castle empty containers in your car.
In your car, yeah. Your car will stink up. It's horrible.
I ended up getting slices of, there was a pizza slice joint. I ended up getting that.
Okay.
But like, yeah.
Pizza's pretty good in a hotel room because it doesn't, you can leave it at room temperature. It doesn't really go bad.
Eating on the road is a challenge.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, I'll get McDonald's or for something, and then I'm, like, eating fries with ketchup, and I'm using, like, a hotel washcloth to wipe my hands, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
And you have to sit at that big round table they give you that nobody uses, and I'm sitting there eating because I don't want to eat in the bed.
This room was so funky, I didn't want to spend any more time in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Than was necessary, so I was like, I'll just go out. And
like, sometimes it's great to just, like, I love to go on the road and just go to, like, Pizza Hut by myself. And just sit there. Just because it's like fucking luxury. Between the car, the hotel, and the comedy club, Pizza Hut is like the nicest place you'll sit.
I'll tell you one
on
of the
road,
one
you know?
Of the, I'll tell you one of the other things that I do. Because when I do travel, I'm usually in a place for 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
So one of the other things I do is I find a dollar store.
Okay.
And I get a bunch of the little container of like antibacterial wipes.
Okay, yeah.
I re-clean my fucking hotel room.
You re-clean the whole thing?
I clean the whole fucking
baby wipes.
Anything I'm going to touch with antibacterial wipes, I go over every fucking thing in the
office. Lysol wipes.
Because I'm going to be there for 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
You know, that's probably a good idea. I feel like I've toughened my system.
Yeah.
Now where I am my microbial warrior.
You let
warrior.
A little bit of that get in
you. You and Joel both look like you got tough systems.
Yeah. Thank you.
Says the guy who's drinking the 10% vodka drink in the middle
this
of the afternoon.
This is not 10%.
The other
anymore.
One was.
This is now, this is only 8%.
That's a malt beverage. I'm
but
guessing.
It says warning contains alcohol.
Yeah.
Warning. As if I didn't know.
Warning.
But don't buy
that Mike's Hard Lemonade. It might contain alcohol.
But sometimes, yeah, I mean, you go on the road and sometimes you just go like, when I was doing the Gathering of the Juggalos one year, the hotel was next door to a Ponderosa. I would carve out 90 minutes of my day between my shifts at the Gathering of the Juggalos to go sit in the Ponderosa.
I used to love Ponderosa.
And eat the whole guy. Oh, and I found at the place we were last year for the Gathering, I found a buffet down the, it was like a mile away, maybe a mile, it was maybe 4 or 5 blocks from the hotel. And word got out, started spreading about this buffet. And I started bringing guys over to the buffet and go, hey, come here. And I'd elbow guys and go, you want to go to a buffet? And they're like, yeah, because, you know, you have to eat that horrible carnival food
right
at the Gathering. It's terrible. So, yeah.
Elephant ears.
It's a buffet.
Well, I often play I spin the roulette wheel of eating at the venue.
Yeah, that I don't do anymore.
And sometimes it works well. And sometimes, you know, and some places will comp
your food. Some places it's good, yeah. Well, that's a piece of advice to me. In fact, I'm going to add this to my comedy class itinerary, Corey.
Oh.
Eating at the venue. Here's
my
advice.
You're
gonna
really
do some
hardcore?
Here's why. Because I taught, somebody asked me this about, somebody went out to eat. They were doing a show and they said the meal was included. Then, like, they tried to get their meal and it was a pain in the ass because, like, they tried to get it after the show and the kitchen was closed and this whole thing. My advice is don't eat at the venue.
Yeah,
because you're relying on them to pay you if they don't like you, and God knows that happens. You go and the owner doesn't,
or eat first,
or the owners, or the eat first is a really good piece of advice.
Get
the other
early.
Thing is sometimes you go to the venue and there's nobody there, and you go and there's 10 people there, and then you're asking for a free meal, and you know this guy's losing his shirt because he's paying you and the other guy a bunch of money. Yeah. So generally speaking, I think the best advice is eat elsewhere.
Also,
it's a roulette wheel. But get there early, and if there's a crowd of people and they're doing well, go ahead and hit them up for dinner.
Yeah, it's fine. But
also, an example of nice guys finishing last.
Yeah.
I did an event recently a couple weeks ago. Got there. The night that I got there, all of the guests, all of the special guests that were doing lectures and stuff, met up in the restaurant. We sat down. Mm-hmm. I was broke as shit.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I have peanut butter and jelly in my bedroom.
Right.
I'll just eat that.
Sure.
Somebody asked me if I wanted something. I said, I had enough for a couple drinks.
Yeah.
I'll just have a couple drinks, and then I'll eat when I get back to my hotel room, whatever. Everybody orders up. It's the first night. They're all fucking eating to the top, right?
Yeah.
End of the night comes. They're passing around the checks.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not passing around the checks.
Oh.
And I said, what happened here? And they go, oh, one of the persons that's attending the event picked up the whole table's orders and checks.
Wow. If you had only known.
If I'd only known. Yeah. I mean, that's an awesome thing. That was a big fucking bill, whatever they picked up.
The convention circuit is a whole different thing.
It's a fucking crazy
because then you're sitting there
thing.
With Eric Estrada in the hotel bar, and it's a weird vibe.
Well,
and junkets were different when I did those.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes you're sitting there going, having lunch with Owen Wilson, and he's
but
like,
people can be awesome like that. Like, they're going to pick up all that.
Sure. Yeah. And that's when you go to a casino or something as a comic, you almost always have to eat there anyway because sometimes there's nowhere nearby because the casinos are pretty isolated that you just have to eat there. And I don't really.
And if you're doing a casino,
I don't feel bad about that. I think it's a little bit of a different story. I'm more talking about like the one nighter or the comedy club or something where they just, sometimes they're mean about they'll tell you the food's free and then they're mean about giving it to you.
There's that's another difference. A one night comedy venue like a bar or a lot of times it's a golf course, country club or whatever. Mm-hmm. The food's usually good there.
Yeah.
The comedy club, you're lucky to get some chicken.
Now if I show up to do an open mic, can I demand free fucking food from the
cannot.
Go ahead.
Cannot. You will be.
Once in a while, an open mic will do something like buy a pizza for the
comics there's
or
sometimes there's something
some of that.
That goes
on. I've never fucking seen
that. And then there's other shows where you'll go and there'll be you'll do like an Elks Lodge or something, and there'll be a buffet that's part of the show. You know what I mean? Like people pay $20 and they're going to get a steak dinner and a comedy show. Like this happens a lot at the VFW, whatever. And sometimes they'll let you eat there. You know. But again, I think it's always good. I always feel like, since the rules are different everywhere and I don't know them, I'll just abstain, get my own food, be happy that way.
Right.
And that's
it. Well, that's a tip, though.
It's a hot tip.
The general safe tip is get there. If you're going to eat, get there beforehand to know what the deal is.
Yeah. So, but I'd say just better off. You're better off.
Wow, did we get off on a track.
All right, let's get back on a couple things here. You want to do some, you do Islands in the Streaming, which is you haven't even clicked anything lately, but the Netflix has a new show that everyone's watching. It's called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah, I haven't done that. I haven't seen
you
that
haven't
yet,
seen so that yet. I told you a week ago to watch
well,
that.
Well, I know, but I was on the road.
Are you guys talking about TV? Is this a new
this is
segment
Netflix,
that Corey does?
It is a new show. I think Corey's done it once. But
we did twice.
We might be doing it
twice. Were you going to talk about shows from Netflix?
Yeah. It's weird stuff from
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, though, is a new series that is not, one of the basement things.
Corey's going to talk about TV.
Are you taking a smoke break?
Yeah.
Okay. Unbreakable.
You
no,
talk
we're
about,
talk
no,
when
he
we come
saw
back.
You talk about TV.
We're going to.
What?
I'm talking about the show because Corey hasn't seen it.
Well, are you? Is it Corey's segment?
It is Corey's segment.
Islands
but
in
I'm
the Streaming. It's got a fucking name and everything.
All right, why don't we come back and review
it's got a
Unbreakable
bit.
Kimmy Schmidt.
It's got a
after
name.
After John has a smoke. Come on, let's go outside. It's not
I don't want you to go out and smoke.
No, I
want
to come out with
I don't
you.
Want,
I want you to be here for the
I'm
bit.
I'm going to have to sit here for
you're
another
have to
2 hours
to the bit.
And
yeah,
look
you're
at you.
To the bit. Yes.
Take a smoke.
It's all right, guys. We're going to just.
You can't do this without me?
I'd prefer if you were here.
For what?
Just because I'm going to talk about the thing, and you can add to it if you want.
I don't
want to
see the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt or whatever it is.
You just hear about it.
I don't want to hear about
maybe
it either.
Maybe you're
going to
want to watch it after
it's
you hear
no,
about
it's that
it.
Terrible girl from The Office.
It is, but the
and she was locked in a hole for 9 years.
Oh, you know everything about. Why do you know everything about the show then?
Because everybody's talking about
it. Well, that's why we're going to talk about it.
I don't want to hear it.
Well, go have a smoke. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
Are you taking a break?
We're taking a break. The people at home aren't taking a break. They're just continuing to listen. There's no break for them.
Right.
I mean, they could take a break.
All right.
If you're listening at home, you can stop and go have a smoke if you'd like, or a licorice, or an alcoholic vodka. But you don't need to do that.
Are you
going
to go all the way around?
No, here.
Let that run.
It is running. I'll plug it.
Let that run.
People
it's running.
People like to hear it.
I know they like to hear
they
it, but I cut it out.
Walk away.
Yeah, but I cut it out.
My ex Laura watched it.
Do you
want to
know if you should
she
watch it,
it
or not? Like, would that help you, Corey? If I was like, here, Corey, I'm telling you whether
right,
or not you
go
should
ahead,
watch
we'll
it.
Do it. We'll knock it out.
But I mean,
let's
you know, I don't know why you're opposed to this. I see movies all the time that you don't see, and I review them on the show.
All right.
And it's never been a problem. Okay. You're going to let Tenny get in your ear about this, you know, and it's
no, it's just John and I both haven't seen it. and it seems weird that we're going to jump into this.
My ex watched it.
Okay. Yeah.
She watched the whole first season.
I'm sure she did, and there's a reason for that.
Because she's got a uterus.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
She
Corey has nailed
she hated it.
Okay, well, let me review
she hated it first.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, did she hate watch it, or did she just not like
it? She watched it.
Because, you know what happens with that is, you have to hit a button to make that play. It doesn't just come out.
She watched the first episode. She was like,
okay.
She watched the first episode, and this is what she told me. She said she watched it, and she thought, not so great.
Right.
Then she kept seeing everyone online saying this is
fucking
hysterical.
Well, that's the thing about let me set this up a little bit,
yeah,
if
please.
You don't mind.
No, please.
I'll let you talk about
yeah,
it.
No,
after
no,
I
don't want to talk about it. I never see it.
This is a show. It was executive produced by Tina Fey and her partner. It stars Ellie Kemper from The Office, as you mentioned, who played like a rube on The Office, which is exactly what they got her doing here because her character was in a cult for years. It sounds like they really based this off of those like girls in Cleveland
who were
like locked in a house. It sounds like that might have been more the inspiration.
Right.
But obviously they couldn't do that. That would be too sad. So, of course, the cult has to be funny, and they show that in flashbacks.
It's one of those funny cults.
Well, Corey, that's the problem. Corey. Hey, Corey. You've nailed it.
Yeah.
You've nailed that's one of the problems with the show.
Yeah, John, you read about those hilarious
cults,
fishing camps where they hold people for
15
years.
One of the problems with the show is that the premise is if you took one of those girls from the Cleveland House of Horrors, they wouldn't know anything about the internet. They wouldn't know what's going on today. They wouldn't know what a smartphone is.
Right.
So, like, the kid, she ends up as a babysitter, and the kid has a thing, and she goes, "Stop talking into your Game Boy." You know what I mean? Because there's things that she doesn't get.
Right.
That's where a lot of the humor comes from in this show.
Yeah.
And for some reason, and look, I guess it's because, look, I could be really sexist and say that here's a show that's really not. My problem with the show is it's crammed with jokes. Like, crammed with jokes.
Rapid fire.
Like, Simpsons season 4 pace of jokes. And they don't work. I mean, it's a very low, for me, 1 in 5 jokes might have worked. 1 in 6 jokes.
Instead of sniping, they're throwing lead at the problem.
They're just
spraying the field.
Right.
And like a show like Community will do this where, it's single camera. It's, this actually is a show that might have worked better with like a studio audience or a laugh track just because it's not trying to look like a documentary, but it's still single camera.
And this was made for NBC, right?
It was supposed to be made for Fox, originally, and they couldn't get it made. So anyway, again, my problem with the show is Ellie Kemper's fine. She plays that character well.
She's cute,
yeah, the whole thing. The supporting characters, Jane Krakowski, I thought was very good. I watched two of them.
How did Tina Fey get her?
Exactly, so she's in it. They dug out what's her name? Well, Carol Kane.
You speak ill of 30 Rock.
Well, I know all that's
the women will come and
that was never
you.
A show that I was a fan of, and this feels like
right.
I don't know if this is better or worse than 30 Rock.
Now I liked 30 Rock and thought there was some real there it but it didn't it had
right.
a high there should be a comedy metric like much like in baseball where they do advanced analytics where you're or I'm sure in ghost hunting there's advanced analytics
a lot of work being done.
Well, you could
that, you know what I mean, but there's guys who are sitting there like trying to measure magnetic waves.
Oh yeah.
And really doing some science that no one cares about. But in comedy there should be a joke ratio.
Well, yeah.
Like a slugging percentage.
Batting average, slugging percentage, on base percentage, you could have any of those.
Sure.
And this show would probably have a lot of walks.
Okay.
You got on base, but you didn't really earn it. Kind of jokes. I don't know. It's okay. For some reason, women and like John is saying, his ex girlfriend, whatever, they all love it. To me, it doesn't really work. Now, the fact that it's a woman in a show, like you shouldn't say that this show is better because it's a woman. And it's just kind of okay. Like, I think that's like reverse sexism, isn't it? So, like, if this is a show with a guy where only every fifth joke works, you would kind of go, that sucks.
Right.
Yeah,
because
but that's how
woman,
it always works.
It is how it works, and it's unfortunate that it works.
We have to have women
in
everything.
Yeah.
We need a woman on the $20 bill. Right?
I guess.
Hillary Clinton is going to be a horrible candidate for president. She's better because she's a woman, naturally.
Well, yeah, it's...
Now, and that's the thing.
And
I'm a Democrat who doesn't like Hillary Clinton, and I think there's a lot of us that don't.
This is...
But, you know...
Here's the thing that the show does.
Gotta run a chick.
Here's a show, the thing that the show does as well, and I don't know if you're yeah, I wish you would have seen it, Corey, to mention this. And if you do watch it, because you have a wife...
I thought I was going to see
you
it
have
by
a wife.
Now.
Yeah.
But
so you'll probably see it.
Unfortunately, Shark Tank and other shows got
I love Shark Tank.
Right.
Listen to this. They kind of did this thing where... there's no heterosexual male presence on the show at all. Meaning that she ends up being roommates with a gay guy.
Right.
A black gay guy. I don't think that has anything to do with anything. He's just describing the show. And I kind of feel like they, if they took out, and I'm guessing they sort of teased in the pilot that there might be this love interest. And then the second episode, the guy wasn't even on it anymore. So I don't know if that was a retooling. But I kind of feel like they're trying. And I actually like that they're not doing the Mindy project where it's like, it's a girl just trying to get laid every minute.
Right.
And I think that's refreshing. But I also felt like it felt really weird to not have that presence. I mean, there's literally not, you know, like her boss is a woman, you know, Jane Krakowski.
Right.
The landlord, Carol Kane, is a woman. She lives with this gay guy.
What you're saying is that there's a natural part of the world.
Yeah.
Where someone wants to get their D sucked.
Well, there's a point in the world.
Right?
Where
like, put it on.
If a girl that looked like Ellie Kemper came out of a fucking hole in Indiana and moved to New York City, guys would be lining up to fuck her right, left, and center.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's not part of the show.
I thought they did that in The Hole in Indiana.
Well, that never comes up either. The cult leader is sort of shown in profile. The whole so it feels like they've sort of desexualized
it. There's a lot of times.
And maybe that's a good thing for sitcoms because things are over-sexualized. Well, but it felt weird that that's not there.
There was once a hit sitcom about a Nazi prisoner of war camp.
Sure, okay.
So, I mean, you can do
any topic
you want.
But you can't set a young woman in New York City without that element. I feel like it's missing. And maybe they developed
it
more.
Is it like an Amish kind of deal that she grew up
She was, yeah. That's what she was, a cult leader in like an Amish kind of cult. But I, you know, I only watched two episodes. So maybe it goes on further. My feeling is I'm probably not going to go for the more episodes.
I admire that you went for a show so far outside of anything you'd probably care about.
How many episodes of that they do?
I think they did six.
Six, maybe?
That's how now we've moved to the British model, where it's like 7 episodes.
Yeah. It might be more than that. It might be 10. I'm not sure. But you know, but the thing is here, I like The Office. I think Ellie Kemper's funny. She was good in Bridesmaids. Tina Fey. I mean, it's a comedy show. I'm going to watch a comedy show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do. I don't stick with that.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
this one's not that good.
In 2015, we do things that we never did in 1983, which is we all think everything's for me. Girlfriends can be on the CW or whatever it was on.
Here's the
UPN,
problem with the show.
And that's not for me. It's for black women.
There's nothing wrong with this show that would stop me. I mean, I did talk about how they sort of desexualized it, but there's nothing in the show that's not for me other than there's not enough jokes that work. That's why I'm not watching show. Okay, when I watched that Transparent, and did you finally see that? When we
I saw a few episodes of Transparent.
I went and said, this show's not for me. It's going to be horrible. I hated it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought the quality of the writing and the quality of production was top-notch, as good as anything on television. I didn't watch anything past the first one, but I know it's good, and if I want to watch it, I'll watch more. But Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is not that good. Well, it's just not to that level.
What's Transparent on?
Amazon Instant Video.
Oh.
So if you have Amazon Prime.
I got Amazon.
I do not.
Well, I did the monthly. I did the free trial.
Yeah.
Which if you do a month,
if
you cancel in time, they don't bill you.
Yeah.
And I did that just so I could watch the pilot for The Man in the High Castle.
Okay.
Which is a Philip K. Dick book.
Right.
Where the Nazis win. Mm-hmm. And actually, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Apparently, they're making a series.
And they're
going to
make
that
into a series. The pilot, the pilot was pretty good. And then I ended up going, all right, what else is on here? And watched a Transparent.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
We did watch a lot of The Americans.
Yeah, that's.
I think we watched most of the first season of that.
Let me jump.
Show was pretty good.
Yeah, Americans is very good. That's on FX. But I think if you want to stream it, you can only stream it on Amazon Prime. So.
Do you think this? What's it called? The Unbreakable? What?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Do you think that
question?
It's too, like, they're trying to shoot the show that's desexualized. They're trying to shoot it almost from her mental perspective? Or do you think that's too... I'm thinking too deeply
about how they're shooting this show. It is very whimsical and dumb. It's not supposed to be realistic.
Right.
Even though it's set in New York and there's stuff where they're in Times Square. I mean, it's shot, you know, on location. I think there is an element of that where it is a fantasy. It's not supposed to be real.
I think that's Tina Fey's...
Yeah.
I think you've hit on the Tina Fey.
Sure, 30, I think that.
30 Rock, Tina Fey is only comfortable in a meta...
Yeah,
textual format where it's not supposed to be.
Listen,
real.
I'll tell you what I wanted from 30 Rock, and that like I would want, I guess maybe from even this Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt show, What I wanted from 30 Rock was I wanted the last season.
Yeah.
I wanted every episode to be an episode of 30 Rock that we had already seen, but seen from the perspective of someone who's not on a comedy show. Like someone who was in the hallway watching it all go on. And you would see how not funny everything was.
No.
And you would see how, you know what I mean? Like that, I wanted it to become as meta as she wanted it to be.
Do you remember the MASH where the documentary crew came?
Yes.
And they shot, they just interviewed everybody and it was totally different vibe.
Totally different vibe.
That's kind of what you're talking about a little bit. Yeah,
absolutely.
Alan Arbus.
Okay. Is that who it was?
No, Alan Arbus was the therapist.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Remember, Sydney.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember,
by the way, I'm binge watching MASH right now.
Those are always the great. They'd occasionally do an episode where Sydney, the therapist, would come and check and see how long the guy was holding up.
That's not a joke. I'm binge watching MASH.
Are you really? Yeah, what are you watching it on?
I'm watching it on Netflix.
Okay.
The Flitnex.
Yeah. You don't even know what's on Netflix sometimes because although when I see MASH, I go, I've seen enough MASH in my life. I never need to see that.
Yeah,
again.
I just got but finished that's nice watching to have the one with them. The young Ronnie Howard.
Yeah. See, it's great that you can have an old show where they're not edited and they're not. You know, that was another. We've always.
Yeah, there is something about when that show starts every fucking time.
Yeah.
And the music starts.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm eight laying in
bed. Yeah, yeah.
Eight laying in bed and hearing the song from the family room where my parents are
like
watching.
The dinner table.
Yeah.
You could hear the MASH. Like, I would know, I think it was 7 o'clock, or was it 7 or 7:30 it was on in Detroit for years.
Years.
And it was like the reruns of MASH, and you just knew it. Like, well, it was a certain time of day that it just came on.
This is like this, but that's why they call it comfort food.
Sense memory.
Comfort TV.
Yeah.
It's sometimes you just want mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so Leave It to Beaver, 2:30, right after school.
Yeah.
Because
come home, leave
in
it to
the
Beaver.
World, in the universe, I have Netflix, I have Hulu, I can watch whatever I want on like YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I got all these other streaming services and stuff. I started watching Columbo because when Leonard Nimoy passed away, I went, let me find that Columbo.
I went through,
and then I ended up watching like, and then I went. That was good, and I watched the Shatner episode of Columbo.
I
watched the one with George Hamilton.
I
watched the one with Jack,
I'll tell
Cassidy.
You what, I implore people to do this. I did this last year, which was I found an old TV guide from when I was eight.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I watched...
It's the first challenge anyone
watched,
would have to do.
You can actually find them online now.
Okay, all right.
But I watched 2 weeks I did this. I watched Friday and Saturday night. I watched the Friday and Saturday night from when I was 8 years old. So I watched a Love Boat.
Okay.
And then I watched a Fantasy Island.
And was it the exact episode?
The exact episode.
And how did you, were they easy to find or on Netflix?
They're on YouTube mostly.
On YouTube, okay.
Or Netflix or at the time I was doing a Hulu trial and stuff like that. But I was putting together what I watched at 8 and 9 years old.
Like Love Boat into Fantasy Island was one night.
At 7:30, Blonsky's Beauties.
Yeah, I watched, there was one where I watched,
Because Friday night was a Friday night was Love Boat and
it was Saturday night.
Fantasy Island
was,
that was Saturday.
It was Love
night?
Boat Fantasy Island.
Okay, yeah.
I remember after the Muppet Show went right into UFO Project or what is it?
In search of maybe.
No, it was one where it was a docudrama where they reenacted guys that were researching
Project UFO.
Project UFO.
By the way, Nimoy not get enough credit when he died for In Search Of? Because I feel like
he did not.
Because
get
that show gave fuel to so much.
That show is why I do what I do.
Exactly. But I'm saying, I was going to say, it gave rise. The first time I'm sure people heard of the Loch Ness Monster for a lot of people was on.
There's
In Search
a show
of,
on right now
the
called The Oak Island Mystery.
Yeah, I mean that was from In Search Of. Yeah,
that's the one of the first In Search Of episodes of the Oak Island.
And what was Mystery. What's the famous Bigfoot video? I'm guessing that
Patterson
was
Patterson Gimlin.
The first time anyone ever
Absolutely.
Saw that was on In Search Of. But
well,
I feel like when he died, no one even talked about it. In Search Of,
led to like Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah. But In Search Of,
Jack Palance came.
In Search Of was its own thing though, in that it was.
It was the first, I've talked about this before on my website, was the first paranormal reality show.
Mm-hmm.
It was hosted, it had recreations, it had actual witness testimony, and then they would have guys who investigated it go out and investigate.
Yeah, so it did have, didn't they do the Amityville Horror, and they did a lot of the famous, a lot of what we know now as
Annabelle with those two Connors.
They had Ed and Lorraine Warren on the episode.
But, you know, it seems like all of the stuff that they, I mean, I guess there's been some new things, but a lot of the stuff that got locked into, like, all-time lore
of weirdness
was on In Search Of first.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Nimoy didn't get credit for, I mean, Spock just towered over everything. And
Yeah.
But he was on, he went right off Star Trek into like 2 or 3 years of Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible shit is great.
It's actually, Mission Impossible is really good if you watch it.
It's really good. If you're a fan of Peter Lupez, you're talking Mission Impossible.
That's right. Peter Graves,
Peter Lupez, Martin Landau.
Well, I think Martin Landau and Barbara Bain. Barbara Bain left, and then they brought in Nimoy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that Columbo episode with Nimoy, terrific.
Yeah, okay.
I will tell you, it pissed me off.
Nimoy's a doctor, and Columbo actually gets mad, like, He's so annoying that he's pissed off at him. And you don't see Columbo. Like, sometimes watching a few of those, the older ones break the format a little bit more.
I talked about this on Facebook a little bit, but it did make me mad when I would see pictures of Leonard Nimoy as Spock.
Yeah.
And it would say, "Live long and prosper, Leonard Nimoy."
Yeah.
Right. That pissed me off.
Why is that?
Because
it's the character.
The character was written by science fiction author Theodore Sturgeon.
Okay.
And he's the one that. It was the first episode where you ever saw Spock's planet.
Yeah.
And so Sturgeon came up with a way that they could greet each other.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And Sturgeon's, had he lived, Sturgeon's birthday was the day before Nimoy passed away.
Yeah.
So, like, I posted a picture the night before Nimoy died of Theodore Sturgeon saying, "Live long and prosper."
Eventually, some people own, you know, whatever that is. You know what I mean?
The Vulcan salute... Nimoy says he took from
it's Jewish mysticism,
a Jewish traditional, Passover ceremony.
The Jewish elders would put their hand up like that.
Well, that's interesting. Okay,
the Judaic.
Speaking of ripped, and you're talking about Theodore Sturgeon. Speaking of ripoffs, Joel.
Yes.
Speaking of ideas,
I have one more show.
Oh, God.
All right. Sorry.
It's okay.
Try to segue.
I'll segue in 1 second. You're fine. Thank you for that. But yeah, I was going to... Anybody watching The Jinx on HBO? Corey, are you watching The Jinx?
It just wrapped up.
Yes, I did watch The Jinx. Amazing story there, if you haven't seen it. And we don't even have to talk that much because I don't want to ruin it if anyone hasn't seen it. But this Robert Durst guy, in my opinion, that show, man, that's one of the most captivating things, that those interviews he gives. That's some crazy stuff, man.
I will disagree to a certain extent.
In what way?
I think it's a very well-done show. I think they really put it together. It's a solid, very entertaining show. I never, for 1 second of that program, didn't think he did it.
Well, that's the point, though.
I know.
The point is that a guy comes on who is now, without ruining the whole story for people, because I think it's best, I think the less you know about that story, and it's too bad because it's in the news every minute today because of what happened over the weekend, which, I won't get into that. But I feel like the less you know. But, I mean, the point of it is, like, why would this guy give an interview? He skated from this murder trial. He's already there. The only thing that can happen from giving this interview is that he would be arrested and go to jail. And that's what's fascinating about it. And, of course,
on a personal level, I just look at him in his shark eyes and I go, oh, sociopath. You know what I mean?
He doesn't realize how he comes off. But at the same time, I think that's what makes for a good show, though. Is that it's a guy that,
I felt like the guy was...
Well, I mean, again, and it's funny that I think, you know, there is this new sort of the genre of, you know, the documentary, you know, sort of the justice documentary where this guy, you know, in his case, it was like this guy's guilty and he got off. So here's the thing that makes him guilty.
And they have Serial.
You're trying to make people look innocent.
PBS
and then
podcast,
that was
NPR.
The West Memphis 3, all the movies that those inspired... Paradise Lost in that. Although, you know, my feeling is like Paradise Lost is they tried to make the case. You know, if you see that, the original Paradise Lost, you know anything about Paradise Lost?
Well, they
tried to make the kid seem innocent, and then at the end they put on that quote of the guy going, "I might be the devil."
Right.
And then at the end, you sort of had your doubts about it. And then when everyone believed they were innocent, they started making by the time they got to the second one.
Right.
But believe me, the second one, there's nothing at any convention that you've ever been to that's more bullshit than that second Paradise Lost movie, because that is a complete work of fiction. But, you know, people just love that. They love that advocacy. They love documentaries that take a position.
The granddaddy of that is the Thin Blue Line.
Thin Blue Line, yeah. Brothers Keeper did that, too.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Errol Morris, yeah.
Errol Morris, to me, is the best documentarian.
He's great,
He's the master.
Did you see his ESPN thing?
Yeah, he did one about... the guys from Duke broke in and stole Michael Jordan's jersey.
Yeah, it was a series of short
movies.
And it
was actually really interesting.
And they compiled them into one long thing. Then you see the guys who play like magnetic football.
No.
They're like 60-year-old guys, and they go into this basement in Buffalo,
that
New York.
That stupid thing where you wind it up and it...
And it was, and the players move all around.
Right, right.
Well, there's a guy who, like, he paints...
There's a magnetic football
league. He paints the rosters by hand onto the guys.
Right.
To, like, so when you say, oh, I want the 2013 New England Patriots, he's hand-painted them and can put them out against...
And then
he's
got to go
in 49ers.
And so,
holy
like, when
shit.
When free agency starts, he's got to go paint a bunch of new names.
Well, I guess that's the case. But, you know, there's a league and there's all these guys that play with them. And it was really interesting. It
like,
was
where
I,
did DeMarco Murray go? The Eagles.
What the fuck is that called?
I forgot what it was called. It was on ESPN. Aaron Morris did it. It was called.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, straight.
I think if you go to Grantland. .com, you can see all the Errol Morris.
Yeah, they're on ESPN. So
I got to say, the ESPN documentaries, the 30 for 30s, sorry.
Yeah, those are pretty good. We've talked about
some. Are terrific.
Did you see
that? You don't even have to be a sports guy in some
I'm
of them.
I'm not a sports
John would,
guy.
John, you would actually like the one about the creation of fantasy baseball. Because it's really about this nerdy subculture of guys.
It's about Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and it was like a little circle, the original Rotisserie Baseball League. Was this guy Daniel Okrent and a bunch of other like writers, and it's really about the subculture of that more than even the baseball.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, John, you don't have to watch. You don't have to watch. I Hate Christian Laettner because I saw that.
I don't even know what the hell that
I saw
is.
10 minutes of that.
Another like, part. Okay, but I love much, it. Okay, much like the Jinx.
Yeah.
Much like the Jinx, I looked at that and I went, yeah, I hate Christian Laettner. So, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I watch it because Ric Flair is one of the guys that's interviewed for it. And it was on a wrestling thing. And I said, I'll watch Ric Flair talk about
Christian. Is that a wrestling thing?
Christian Laettner was
the best wrestlers of all time.
Christian Laettner was a basketball player for Duke in the 90s.
Well, you know what's funny? And I've only 10 minutes into that. I was watching before you guys showed up. It's a lot about the culture of Duke as an institution.
Yeah, which I hate everybody
it's
at Duke.
It's like Harvard in the middle of the hills of you know, that's kind of why people hate it.
You know where Duke, okay, speaking
it's
of...
It's good old boys.
You know why it's called Duke?
Why is that?
And talking about
the
money,
Grand Wizard, yeah.
Grants and money.
Oh, okay.
The money for
the Duke.
Duke
like
Univers-
the king, yeah.
Duke University was funded by Buck Duke of American Tobacco.
Okay.
In the, you know what I mean? It's all, yeah. And that's where a lot of the... A lot of the cancer cigarettes don't cause cancer studies come from. It's from Duke.
Yeah.
Because it's all tobacco money.
Well, they were saying, you know, that it's surrounded by all these like NC State and all these like hillbilly, you know, kind of grassroots colleges.
And it's
and
the
then they, they're like yes. the ivory tower. And, you know, so a lot of it was why they hated him there. All right, let's get
I
into.
The only thing I know about sports is I filled out my bracket today.
Oh, did gee, you didn't really do that.
I did.
Do you apply any, is there any way did you go with
mascots
it?
Mascots and colors.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah. And you know what? Sometimes that's better than...
I do well. I won a bracket at Gus's one year.
Do you consider the...
I won.
Do you consider the seeding at all? Do you go like, hey...
I do.
It's a 15 against a 2 and...
I do.
There's no way I'm picking the 15, or do you go, yeah, I'll take the 15?
No, it depends. Like, the first round...
Yeah.
And when I'm picking my bracket...
Yeah.
I will... Do one? I will pick one upset.
One upset, yeah. Then that's usually the way most people do it, though. Is they'll go, "Hey, we're going to pick one. We'll pick a 1-3 seed.
I won.
1-3 seed to lose
$100 on brackets on a March Madness at Gusselin Alley one year.
You're out of your mind.
Just randomly filling out brackets.
Wow,
I won $500. Jimmy Doom was in charge of the money. I've never seen the $500.
I'm shocked by that.
He gave me $50 one time, and then he told me that he would give me the rest over time as he had it.
And you're...
Which I thought, don't you have it? Didn't people give it to you?
Yeah.
Never saw it.
I'm really stunned that individual you named did something finky.
Well, that's
I'm shocked by that wonderful
I'm over it
pillar
now.
Of the community.
I'm over it now.
Okay. He is, to me, the Robert Durst of Detroit.
Oh.
When people say... When they,
right, that's
when
go.
People go, listen, if they did a documentary
right,
about,
stop, no, just, stop. Just you're they, out of your mind.
I'm not saying I'm not.
You're
I'm not.
Mind.
I'm not
the
saying.
The guy
I'm not
killed three people.
Okay, I'm not saying he's got a rap sheet. I'm just saying,
yeah, you can't
if they
say
did
that.
A documentary about Jimmy Doom, I'd be like, not interested.
Yeah, you can't. Okay,
you know you're, what I'm saying?
Until you watched it.
No, I would say piece of shit from beginning to the end. All right.
I tried to make a documentary about Harry.
They're speaking of pieces of shit.
That was the whole dog man.
Now that's a great lead into ripoffs.
Yeah.
Knockoffs and
this
parody.
Is it.
What is the line?
I heard his new song.
I have too. We'll get, believe me, he's wanting that thing promoted. It's not happening on this show. We went all out for Fuck You Detroit, and look where that got.
I designed those fucking postcards.
So, I shot the...
I shot, recorded, no views.
You did. Was brilliant, by the way.
I thought so. It was one of the best things that he'd done.
And it got no views. It was completely accurate.
It's got 500.
Yeah, I know. It's fine.
I helped produce I Want to Poke a Redhead.
Yeah.
On St. Patrick's
Which
Day.
Is completely
brilliant. This is my favorite Marvin Gaye song.
Okay, now see, we're going to get into that. Now, you believe that Marvin Gaye's family deserves $7 million?
Not at all.
Now, I'm going to play Got to Give It Up. Are you ready for that?
That's
Blurred Lines by Robin.
Not at all.
Produced by Pharrell Williams. Here is the rip-off in question here. Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up, part one. Look, you got a bass line and you've got like a percussion track. Kind of similar. But I thought in songs, John, and that's why we were invited here today. Not that we don't love it, but
right.
I wanted a real musician to discuss this topic. Yeah. I got lots of examples of rip-off.
For sure.
I thought in music, the law was, it was the lyrics and the melody were the only things that you could protect. So you really couldn't protect a bass line. You really couldn't protect a drum track.
We're really through the pale at this point with music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, so musically, right? There's been the argument has been made ad nauseum, time immemorial, that you know there's really only like 22 songs in the whole world. Like they're all variants of 22 rhythm patterns, drum patterns, bass patterns, and guitar patterns. And so you're just going to repeat things over and over again. Recently, you talk about the settlement for this.
Yeah.
But there was just the settlement with Tom Petty and Sam Shepard.
Yeah, sure. I should get that ready.
And do that because I found that even more ridiculous. Because
now has Bob Dylan ever sued Tom Petty for stealing his act? I mean,
You can't. You know, that's the thing. You can't sue over stealing the sound of somebody's voice, though. Well, you know what I mean? Guys can sound like Elvis.
The problem is when you have this thing like with Sam and Tom Petty, you have to pitch it down, you have to slow it down, you have to increase the pitch and increase the speed on the other one, and then they match up perfectly.
Right.
I can fucking do that with any song in the world. I can pitch up and slow shit down and get them to match. It doesn't mean I'm ripping people off. It just means that some people have a lack of creativity, and so they come up with the same fucking beats and patterns.
But you know, we were just talking about jokes. Eventually, everybody's going to write a joke about, you know, ketchup on their fries or something. You know, like you're looking for common themes that people in the audience are going to appreciate. You're going to cover the same territory eventually. You know.
So here's Tom Petty with "I Won't Back Down." You know, this is a southern rock song, right? And here's Sam Smith. Who has this? And this is what we talked a lot about Sam Smith when we reviewed the Grammys.
Yeah,
now this I kind of have to fast forward to the part that sounds like the chorus, right? Because that's
the
problem.
It's this. I mean,
the words we used were not exactly pleasant.
I want to get to the. Stay with me. So this sounds like the chorus of "I Won't Back Down." I'll play it.
If you
again, change, you have to slow it down.
If you change the pitch and speed it up, then it sounds like another song.
Right.
Which if that's what you're going to do, if it's going to be changing the pitch and changing the tempo of songs, every fucking song that's been written has been written by someone else.
Now, anyway, well, let's give you some other examples then. If you're not convinced, what about this? Now, this I heard recently. Now, this was we all know this, right? I mean, I don't have to play too much of this, right? You guys are all fans.
Bob O'Reilly.
Well, Bob O'Reilly by The Who. We all know this. But you guys know what this is. Has anyone heard this?
This Robert Plant.
Rip off or not?
Nope.
You're saying it's different.
Yep.
Why? But it does sound like it.
Sounds like it.
It's just one direction.
Yep. It's derivative.
Completely derivative. And you would say an homage to Bob O'Reilly, which
you
not?
Yep.
But not infringing.
Nope, not
interesting.
At all.
Is it because like those three chords, it's going down a step instead of going up in the third? Is that what it's doing?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what it sounds like to me. I'm not a musician like you are, but okay. Now, when I asked you about this subject, John said, by the way, Is this a complete piece of shit or not? I mean, God damn it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Garbage.
Now, last time I remember a big case like this, the Verve pretty much ended their career because they got busted actually taking a sample.
You know, that's a sample. Yeah, I know about the Verve thing, and I won't even play it because you can't hear the sample. And I've done that a million times.
Right.
It's a remix of a Rolling Stones song, and it's not even audible in the song, and it was complete bullshit. But apparently, the Stones publishers are such ball busters that they had to give 100%.
That pretty much ended the Verve's career.
No, they broke up.
I know, but they broke up after that.
What was their one hit?
But wasn't there also something, too, with when it comes to sampling, which is, I think, a completely different thing?
It is different, yes.
Didn't the Lemonheads do something where they took the entire Here's to You, Mrs. Robinson, and they sped it up so fast that it's actually the drum track, the entire song, the entire original song, is just the snare
cover?
Drum in their cover.
You know what? Wow. When I asked you guys for examples of what I can cue up, nobody had these examples,
right,
except for this one, so
right.
I don't have that for you, but here's... Here's now, Tenny said this is a rip-off.
This is a rip... Well,
no, something rips this off.
Yeah, many songs rip this off. Many, many songs.
Now,
rip
I'm going to... Corey, anything come to your mind? Because it's funny, until I listen,
I wish they wouldn't rip
it's a famous
off.
Song. Yeah, I know. Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Now, is it just the intro that's a rip-off?
No,
off?
Just listen. Listen to the bass.
Yeah, I hear what now. Because Kenny said two songs rip this off, and
two
I'm going to pick both.
Two songs.
Can I go to the next
go
one?
Go to the next one.
All right, now Corey says this, John says this is a rip-off. Now, I do hear it in this intro here. Do, 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 do.
Comes out right here.
Right here, right here. Do, 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 do,
do. That one I would not have thought of.
Because here, if you go. Just a city boy. Yeah. Living in a lonely.
Born and raised in South Detroit.
Not yet, it's you, Fitz.
Missed the midnight train going in.
Now, John, this one, I don't get on this.
All right.
Tell me how this is the same thing.
This is the one that's hard to hear.
You say this is Don't Stop Believing.
Yep, it absolutely is.
To see if I still feel.
It's got to be just slowed down.
It's even slower than the U2 version.
Interesting. Well, I've got some speeded up, slowed down.
No, wait.
What was the Nine Inch Nails?
This is hurt by Nine Inch Nails.
No, wait.
The original.
Joel, what you're listening to right now is not Don't Stop Believing. This is the opening. He changed the opening. His chorus is Don't Stop Believing. Let it run. Right? Let it run. It starts here.
Okay, right
here's
here,
where
right here.
Don't Start Believing starts.
There's multiple versions of this, even by Nine Inch Nails. So I'm the...
Just a small town boy.
It's there. Yeah.
Born and raised in South Detroit.
I have the Johnny Cash. You want to hear that?
Yeah,
I hear
the Johnny Cash version.
But it's the chorus.
It's got to get to the chorus.
But, I mean, this is a cover. He was doing it.
But, again, you have to wait to get to... When you get to the chorus, you'll hear it.
The old familiar sting.
More.
Yeah, here you go.
What have I become?
Listen.
Da-da. My sweetest friend.
Interesting.
It's the same exact chord progression.
You have Under Pressure.
Now hold on. No, because that's a sample. I'm going to go. Listen to this, though. Listen to this. Tell me what this is rip off. This is a case of this is something exactly speeded up.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
I used to know.
Lenny Kravitz, Are You Gonna Go My Way?
Yeah,
American Woman?
I used to know this.
Here you go. Yeah. It's Purple Haze. Just speed it up. Yep. This is one that my buddy went crazy when the Lenny Kravitz came out in the 90s. My buddy went nuts and said, he's just doing Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
There it is. Same thing. Here, I'll give you...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Now, these guys got sued. Do you know about this? Now, these guys actually had to give up credit. You know what this is? Radiohead.
Creep. Yeah.
And And they had to give up. They had to give up songwriting, partial songwriting credit.
Yeah.
Do you know the song that ripped them off?
No, but there's a bunch of songs that are this.
There
as
are
well.
This too. Yeah. We'll be a little more Creep, and then we'll go. When you now it's funny too because I love this.
I hate
and
this.
I actually love the song that it rips look off as well.
Yeah, I hate this song.
So I can't decide. But here's the this one. You got to let this one get in here.
Mazzy Star.
This is the Hollies.
Oh, the Hollies.
The air that I breathe. Listen to the bass line. The bass line's exact.
Oh, yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah.
There's also a song called Seaside But Still Docked by Morrissey.
Yeah.
Which is the exact same bass line.
All right, well, let's listen to some other stuff because we know, well, we know the Beatles, right? You want to get into the Beatles or you want to do, okay, here's the Beatles, who we know, originals, right? Constantly ripped up.
Right.
But just someone, short, is there a band that sounds more different from song to song than the Hollies?
No, the Hollies sound completely
they sound
different.
Every song.
Right. But they change vocalists and
but
members.
Like Carrie Ann and
yeah,
this are no, the same
yeah,
fucking
they,
band.
This is 70s Hollies.
Bus Stop and all that shit. Yeah. Every song sounds
well, here's, well, before I give it away, what song ripped this off? You guys have probably never heard this.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this.
You've heard this? And this is to rip this off.
Isn't it like, does this sound like Memphis?
Well, maybe it's this.
The Beatles.
Yeah, listen to this. There's the Beatles stealing.
There you go.
So there you go.
Well, you know, but they didn't really hide their stealing.
They didn't hide their stealing, and I think Lennon probably did it more than the other guys.
No, you don't happen to have.
Well, do you want
Joel,
the George Harrison?
You don't happen to have the.
That's another lawsuit, though.
Well, I'm going to play that next.
The Spirit Led Zeppelin.
Well, we'll get into Zeppelin because Zeppelin stole a bunch of blues stuff, and I listened to all that stuff.
Yeah.
And to me, the Zeppelin stuff that they're kind of known for, that's not really the stuff they're accused of stealing.
Because
they stole
Spirit, you know, Spirit just won for Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Spirit stole. Yeah, they stole. So I don't have that. Here, I'll give you a little. Let me give you a little Led Zeppelin because they did rip people off. But Zeppelin, a big rip-off artist as well, though, would you not say? And then,
well, Jimmy Page is a terrible
Jimmy
guitar
Page.
Player. can't write a song to save his fucking life.
But this, come on, this is good music. Good this? Song, right?
I mean, if you're fucking high.
Anybody know who ripped this off? This
I used to know all these fucking songs. All their rip-offs.
Here, I'll give it to you right here. Let's go. Take it to 1994. Pearl Jam, Given to Fly. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? Yeah. I mean, that's, you know. And when this came out, they went like, well, we didn't know, you know, it's kind of happened.
Well, Pearl Jam did that a lot, too.
Yeah.
Because Pearl Jam also ripped off Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix.
For Yellow Ledger.
For Yellow
Ledger. Yeah, okay. Well, here's Pearl Jam, if you want to talk about guys ripping off Pearl Jam.
Here.
You guys know
Bush,
Black?
Right?
Well, this is the one that I thought it was sort of the notorious ripoff of this song. Let me get into this a little bit. That's Black from their first album, 10. Everyone likes that.
It's a horrible song. Horrible album.
But wasn't this a worse... Isn't this a worse version of that song?
Oh, Stone Temple Pilots.
Flush by Stone Temple Pilots.
This is a great album, actually.
Is this a ripoff?
Am I potted way down? You have me turned all the way down.
Hold on. You like Stone Temple Pilots?
Wait a minute.
But not Pearl Jam?
First of all...
I like this album more than I like 10.
Is this a ripoff of that other song, though?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Okay, now this... At the time Stone Temple Pilots came out, I hated them because I thought they were just a knockoff of all the other shit.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and all, they were Johnny Come Lately.
Right.
My wife doesn't get the distinction.
Well,
because
yeah.
She's a little bit younger than me. And I got to explain to her all the time, like... I hear Stone Temple Pilots and my balls go into my socket.
They didn't come first.
Well, like Screaming, I was playing Screaming Trees the other day.
Right.
She goes, "How can you like this?"
Right.
And not like Stone Temple Pilots? Because at the time, These guys came a little bit late. These came like 18 months later.
Yeah, it came later.
And the other stuff.
They were probably signed because Pearl Jam was big, so that's how it
right.
All right, now here's the famous one that got George Harrison in trouble.
I can't take this off. Get this off.
I am.
I get that off. I can't take
that. I love that song. I love that album.
Now, I when you hear these back to back.
My sweet Lord. Yeah, this one we know. Right?
See, at this point, I'd let him go, but the verse is actually more of a rip up right here. Yeah, the verse is kind of where they get George because yeah. I'd kind of give him that on the chorus. But you know, again, here's my feeling is that not only does people rip everyone off, they all eventually get ripped off anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
So here's my sweet lore. You got to hear that starts with a guitar solo here in about a couple seconds.
Now this I could listen to this all day.
It sounds like what I recorded in the office at Neo Tokyo.
It does.
Baby, soft hands. He's got them.
My sweet.
When those bootlegs finally come out, it's going to be amazing.
But you know what's interesting is that this song and that guitar intro was ripped off in this. You guys ever hear this? And of course, these guys known for stealing stuff. Here's Oasis. Listen to the guitar solo in Listen to what Noel Gallagher did on remember the intro?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
The intro of My
yep,
Sweet Lord.
I know.
Same thing. Here it goes. 3, 2, 1. That's it.
The problem is, again... It comes there back it to the amount of available notes.
Sure.
We could sit here and do this with these songs.
Yeah.
You could do this forever with country music.
Yeah, you probably could.
Because country music is just G, C, and D over and over and over again.
We all know this. Imagine, of course... Another example of Oasis, the introduction to "Don't Look Back in Anger."
That's sort of
ridiculous.
One's shameful.
That one kind
like
of is. Well, you want some shameful stuff, Corey? Let's talk about your boys.
Oh sure,
a little Surfing USA.
But again, that wasn't like a hidden fact.
Look, like I said, everyone does this.
They're really rocking in Boston.
Sweet little 16.
And Pittsburgh, PA.
Thing. Deep in the all right, let's play a game now. I'm going to play something.
But here's the thing.
But you're coming back. Rips himself.
No. When you get into that stuff, when you get into what you're doing now, is what I'm talking about with country music. You're talking about 4/8, 12 bar blues, which are all. I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan only knew three songs, and he just riffed around with every single one of them. Every blues song sounds like every blues song.
All right, tell me.
I have a disc called the Great 28, which is a Chuck Berry collection.
Yeah.
I would never need another Chuck Berry song. You know what I mean? That's all. You really don't need about 12, and they're all the same fucking song.
Well, there's a box set that's about 60 tracks.
I know.
And he does some different stylistic stuff on that.
I like Chuck Berry, too. I'm just saying.
I'll also tell you, when it comes to songwriting, the lowest form of songwriting, if that's possible, and I know that we're listening to your samples,
I'm gonna
start talking about notes. You have... Like there's this thing that happened in the 80s, right? And it was
called the 80s.
It was
and that was the worst.
No, it was called
songwriter.
It was called G E C D.
Right.
Okay? It was a four note combination repeated over and over again. And it was applied to almost every single popular sitcom thing.
Yeah.
So the Love Boat is G, love, E, exciting and new, C, D, come aboard. With family ties.
Yeah.
It was G, what would we do, baby, without us? E, what would we do, baby, without us? C. And facts of life. G,
well,
you take the good,
that Alan
you take
Thicke
the bad.
Wrote a bunch of those?
Every single sitcom follows the exact same mathematical formula, using the exact same notes over and over and over again.
You're talking about country, and back in January, there was a mashup of popular country songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just took several of the songs.
There's,
and they all just overlap.
There's guys in England who do a thing called All of These Are All the Same Song. I forget what it's called. You can see it on YouTube, and they string a bunch of pop songs together. Well, let's play a game now. Let's see if you can name the song this is ripping off. This is the Stone Roses with Elizabeth, My Dear.
This is Hotel California?
No.
Scarborough Fair.
Yes, that's...
Okay, but if I... Play that...
Start it probably
from the,
is start Hotel
from the,
California.
Start it from the beginning. Wait, start it from the beginning again.
Well, here's Scarborough Fair. You want to hear... Okay.
Yeah, just from the beginning.
All right. Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but yeah. What about, what do we got here?
Fucking Eagles.
The fucking Eagles.
Goddamn bastards.
If you play some Eagles, Joel, and we'll have
forget
words.
Forget about it. Then there's going to be a fist fight.
Jesus.
What uh-oh. Happened to uh-oh. You? Uh-oh.
Butterfingers Fregamoni.
No. It's... Now, these guys paid for it because they just took the riff from another song. Anyone know what this is? It's Coldplay.
I'm glad I didn't know that.
It's a ripoff of Computer Love by Kraftwerk.
There you go.
There you go. And they paid for that, so that's fine. Here's who didn't pay for a song. And I thought this was bad, too, when this came out. Look, I'm not saying I would like this or I'd ever be a fan, but... Isn't this a complete... Lady Gaga's Born This Way? This is Express Yourself.
Express Yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, here's some... No? Jenny doesn't see it.
Wait a second.
You want to hear the other one?
Give me Lady Gaga again. Let me listen to that.
Sure.
Let me
give you... Just... I might need to give you...
No, you know what that is?
Hold on a second. What is that?
Can you go back and start that where you started it the first time? I was wondering why it sounded familiar to me.
Tenny's got something else.
I do. Just a small town boy.
All right. Well,
born and raised in South. It's the same fucking repeating pattern.
All right. Well, we then there's these guys. We know what this is a ripoff of.
Right? Oh, my God.
You know, and if this had never been a hit, we'd be done with these
guys. If this would have never been fucking real, God. I would have been a much better man.
Or Mr. Jones by Counting Crows. Complete ripoff of
this
Brown
was Eyes. Another band that came out and, like,
ripoff of Van Morrison.
Oh, Jesus. You know, I never thought of that until just now.
Oh my goodness. Come on now.
Wow.
Well, let's talk about Heroes.
You know why I have it?
Why is that?
Because every time that Counting Crows song comes on the radio, I have to run and turn the fucking channel.
Right.
Well, here's a song. Come on. Guys of our age, this was the song of our... Well, one of the bands of our generation.
The fucking worst.
Come As You
right?
Are by Nirvana. Yeah. And, of course, they got busted when this came out pretty quickly for being a ripoff. But here's what they stole from. You can argue, they slowed it down. They might have changed a note or two.
But he was a known Killing Joke fan.
He really was, And then...
But the grunge stuff, they didn't hide that either.
They didn't. And
the
then,
Pixies is actually...
Well, we're going to get to the Pixies. Okay. Here Smells Like Teen Spirit, which we all know.
That's what they always say.
But, you know, that's not original. Because the song that people say they ripped off is right here. More Than a Feeling. You hearing that intro in there, Teddy?
Yeah, it's fucking Journey.
And then here's a band that...
But Boston came out first.
Boston did it first. I don't know.
Boston's older than Journey.
I would think
Boston. But I don't know. This was that era when it was the early, mid-70s and everybody was doing arena rock.
And then these guys just took that same riff. This is Northside. This is some Manchester early 90s. And I like this song, too. That's the thing.
I like Boston better.
You like Boston the best? Now these
I do not like Boston. Like, it's kind of impossible to not like Boston.
It's fucking arena rock. It's what amazing. You want out of rock and roll.
Kind of is.
It's what you want out of rock.
And these guys got in trouble, too, because this came out. Now, I read an article that said they never paid for this. Fight Test by the Flaming Lips. Anyone seeing what this is? No? one's a little hard to.
Well, he sounds like Neil Young.
Yeah, it's Cat Stevens. This is what they're.
Oh, fuck me.
It's not time to make a change.
I gotta call my dad. Can I call my dad right now?
Well, yeah, father and son, yeah. You're still okay. Young. Let's get
Jesus. It. Fault. Let me call my dad.
So well, if you have here's
I
one.
Can't wait to move out of the country. Everybody will hate me. I'll be
well, here, speaking of bands that if it had never hit.
Allah is Lord.
Oh, my no.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls. And, you know, the Goo Goo Dolls never hit who they were ripping off. But the band that they ripped off never had their success. So here's, if you know this song, and I think everybody does, maybe you've never heard Skyway by The Replacements. I mean, that's a little more similar than... I love it. I could listen to this whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I couldn't.
You know, Cat Stevens bothers me.
That does bother you?
No, yeah. Because...
He bothers you or that song bothers you?
There's an intellectual disconnect.
Yeah.
Because I listen to it with my current brain.
Right.
And I think I don't like Cat Stevens.
Because he's an ass.
But it does fill me with memory. I'm just saying I don't like the song or the music.
Right.
But it does have that's a very, like, you talk about, like, watching ABC's lineup from when you were a kid.
Puts you in a
Cat
time
Stevens,
and place.
Cat Stevens, I totally go, oh. Yeah.
Take you back to the back seat of the car, 1978.
I'm with my mom at the Woolworths dining counter, you know, like.
All right. Now, do you know what this now, famously. Now, look, the Pixies influenced a lot of people, including Nirvana, and probably Radiohead as well.
But, I mean, Kurt said that he ripped off the Pixies.
The loud, quiet, loud rock and roll thing was probably invented by the Pixies. And, well, all right, Tenny.
They were good at it, but didn't invent it.
And then, tell me if this is a ripoff, though. I got to really get to the chorus.
That overlapping vocals thing was a Pixie staple. But
is this a ripoff? Because certainly these guys arguably more successful. Is it just a ripoff?
Oh, yeah.
Undone, the sweater song by Weezer.
Shit.
Rip off.
That really does sound like it.
It really does sound like it.
See, when I said Pixies, I thought you were going to go right to Nirvana.
Well, you know, you can go...
Like Debaser?
Well, that's the point of this. Right. Is you can go in a whole circle.
You go in a giant loop.
A giant loop. All right, well, here's my favorite band.
And what it does is, in most cases, it proves to you that... No matter you like it or not, $7 million should not be exchanging hands.
Right, yeah, no. Exactly. Well, here's my favorite. Now, granted, this is not their best-known song. It's a little Pavement.
It's a little early Pavement, sure.
Very early Pavement, lo-fi. And everyone said, everyone said, this sounds like The Fall, and I didn't know what The Fall was because I was too young for The Fall. And then you listen to The Fall, and this is what The Fall sounds like. Kind of the same exact thing, but hey, I like these both now. It's fine. Pavement got me to The Fall. That's okay.
No, there's a huge Fall influence
there
on
is.
Pavement.
On certain Pavement songs sound Fall. Yeah. Some of them don't sound like Fall.
Earlier, they sounded more like The Fall. Well,
it was a lot of Fall and early Wire for Pavement.
Yes.
Okay, you want me to get upset. What I'm about to get upset about.
Okay, this is No Life.
This is Conduit for Sale.
Conduit for Sale.
Slanted and Chanted. Probably my favorite song off this album. Now, it's not this part that got stolen. We'll get to it, but this is good. We can do it in a second. Because this next bit is the part that got ripped off. Kind of spoken word over the... I don't know where it is in this song. And we'll go to the rip-off. All right, here's the ripoff. Here.
Hey. Don't make a big production. Don't make
anybody remember this? I hit the fucking ceiling when I heard that.
If you want to date other people,
not a surf.
Be prepared for the boy to feel hurt and rejected. Even if you've gone together for only a short time.
I mean, come on.
I've actually never heard it.
And this was a big song.
Someone says she prefers the company of others to your exclusive.
This was about 3 years later, yeah. And avoid making a flowery emotional
speech when you break the news. But you know what? That style,
Because
it's going the distance. What's that fucking?
Cake.
A lot of that talk singing kind of thing. became popular after that famous.
And that was The Fall, too. I mean, The Fall did that, too. All right, let's go. Do you want to do... well, here's one.
Wait, Tenny. The chorus sounds like Creep again. All
right. Yeah, it kind of does. Tenny, why I didn't use this for you at the beginning of the show, I don't know. But...
Money was paid out for this.
This was. You know this one.
Yeah, the lawsuit went through on this.
Ghostbusters.
This is embedded into my brain. Yeah, like you don't even know.
But you know what? It's
funny. I fucking hate it so much.
I think the first time I ever listened to these back to back, though, was today.
I think that I'm one of the few paranormal investigators that hates Ghostbusters.
Really? But is it really a rip?
I mean, it's one of those things where.
See, now listening back, though, I don't think they sound. Listening to them back to back, maybe it's because one's real guitar and one's more keyboards.
Yeah. That's how they got around it. Dum, dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum. I mean, that's the same. Yeah. Anyway, that they ripped off.
Ghostbusters, the movie, the concept, the idea.
Yes.
If I can separate myself from the community, I love it.
You would like the movie itself, but the problem
is... But when I see it, when I see the logo, I go, ugh, I fucking get it out of here.
Well, I think that there's a lot of that. Like, you know...
Yeah, I mean...
We're always very critical of things that are about comedy.
Yeah.
You know, when they do a show with a comedian in it, we're very critical of it. So I hear you.
Now, was this a ripoff? I read an article that said that these guys got in trouble at the time for this being a ripoff. They're claiming it's a ripoff of this.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that, too. Yeah.
And then if you just want to get into the Beatles, I mean, you can get into the Beatles. You can get into the Ruddles, which I love the Ruddles. Are you a Ruddles fan?
I'm not a Ruddles fan.
How can you not? I mean, look, I know this is a ripoff of the Beatles, but I love it anyway. And that's kind of what you take away from that. Is like, it's still good.
It's a tribute.
It is a tribute, and that is, this is Let's Be Natural from the Ruddles, which is Dear Prudence, basically, if you want to hear some Dear Prudence.
Can you start that from the beginning?
Do you want to hear Dear Prudence? Or
no, can you start that from the beginning?
The Ruddles.
The Ruddles.
This is the Ruddles.
You know what that the opening is?
Prudence.
No, but you know what the opening is?
What is it?
Okay, go back to the opening, stop it before it plays.
Okay.
If you can do that. Right? Now, when you start this... Corey, Joel, I'm hearing another ripoff.
Okay, go ahead.
Right? It's the opening, the very opening note to Show Me the Way by Peter Frampton. Listen.
I'd have to, there's Dear Prudence. I'm beginning. Is it possible Peter Frampton was ripping off? Dear Prudence. All right, we're going to get to, all right. Oh, you get the live version of Peter Frampton, of course.
It's going to be different, but listen.
Yeah, well. Ooh, yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
Just the opening. I could listen to this shit all day.
With Frampton?
Fucking Frampton.
That's awesome.
Has anyone heard? We've played this Ruddles before. I love this Ruddles song. This one, they just didn't give a shit here. There was no one.
Yeah, right?
This is probably the least original Ruddles. But yeah. Get up and go. Now, this next man. These guys were such.
That cracks me up.
These guys, people thought this was the Beatles in the early 70s. That they were going to put it out under an assumed name.
These guys.
Yeah, let's listen to it. 70, just beneath the great white way. Listen to that bass. I mean, that's McCartney bass, man. Beach, work secretly. This is Klaatu. And I think the record company, I think if you read articles, they just said, we were deliberately vague. Meaning they wanted people to think it was the Beatles, even though it was, you know. And of course, there's lots of ELO that sounds like the Beatles.
Well, you know, I put on Pandora, I put in Badfinger as a station.
Oh, yeah, Badfinger.
Yeah.
And you'll get like ELO, Badfinger, Raspberries, And you're just like, wow, this all sounds all right. Very Beatles.
Well, now this guy, he got sued. This might be one of the best ones. This is a very famous case that went to the courts. Do you know what this one is? This is Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Fogerty ripping himself off.
Right. They sued Fogerty for ripping off this.
Because it's old man down the road.
This is Run Through the Jungle. But yeah.
Right.
War thought it was a nightmare.
Here's. And that's what they said. Now, of course, he did win that case, Fogerty. Right. So they said, you can't rip yourself off, apparently. But Tenny, I'm going to leave you with this one. How many cheese fries do you get from selling this song? It's a lot of cheese fries.
You gonna make me listen to this fucking shit?
Well, just for a minute, just because there's a point to be made here. First of all, this is awful. Can we all agree on that?
Can we agree that this is some of the worst fucking thing ever committed?
This makes me think of like a rock.
Yeah, it was used in one of the car commercials.
I know, but
it became.
It's just fucking stomach turning.
But did he rip off a different song for this?
Yes.
And who did he rip off?
It's someone.
Two, three.
This is what they claim the ripoff is. And believe it or not, it's the White Stripes.
Oh, I can believe it.
Which, you know, is really pretty funny when you.
Yeah.
Wow, it's pretty close.
No, it's close.
Corey?
Do you have Obla Di Bla Da?
Oh, and what's the ripoff of Obla Di Bla Da? Is that...
it's an offspring.
Oh, the offspring. Yeah. What's the name of the... Oh, it'll be one.
Why don't you get a jump?
Yeah, it's don't get a jump. Yeah, no,
that's a great example, Corey. Is
bank he's never free on a wild one drinking a beer.
And he hates that bitch. He tells me every day.
That fucking stupid snare.
He says, man, I really gotta lose my chick in the worst kind of way.
It's really the chorus. It's like this right here.
She sits on her ass, he rocks his hands.
And then they do the steel drum. That's where it's really... Right here.
So fucking obvious.
I don't know. Look up and see if they paid for that or not. Because I here's. Now getting back to Kid Rock.
Yes.
You said Joel, you need to queue up a couple of things on
yep.
the internet for me.
Yep.
So you set it up and I'll play. You go ahead.
So Kid Rock and I were friends for many years. I played guitar samples for some of his songs.
Okay.
My band and his band at the time were signed to a small label together. We recorded a rock and roll album. He was recording a rock rap album.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a song called Only a Dog.
Yeah.
And it was one of the songs we recorded. Do you have a sample of that,
John? Oh, Only a Dog. What's the name of the group here?
Smokehouse.
Smokehouse. Only a Dog. You're on Joel Radio, getting you going. Like fish, weather and traffic together. The they have the lyrics here, too, Tim.
I wrote them.
Vocals by Tim Aubier.
Let it go. They just keep getting stranger.
What are you doing on this song?
I'm playing guitar.
Playing guitar.
And there we go. And then Kid Rock released a song later on.
Okay, we'll hear that right
Mark
now.
Mark Patrick on drums.
Uh-oh. And that's Kid singing.
No, that's Tim. That's our song.
So what did he add to this? A drum track? He slowed it down?
He had some echo to Tim, and then later on in the song, he raps over the top of it.
Oh. Although it does say Only a Dog featuring Tim Dog Offie, so he's...
Well, he didn't upload that. See, he did this. He mixed it funny.
Although there's a comment here that says, take it down. Kid Rock does not appear in this song, nor did he have anything to do with any
that's
part
not,
of it.
That's not and true. Actually, if you scan up, go scan up into the, like, go.
There's only two comments.
Go 2 minutes into the song. Oh, actually.
Let's try this. With 2/3 of a minute left. Is that your guitar solo?
No, someone else is. I'm sorry. Go back. I'm sorry to do this to you. Go back in earlier in the song. There it is.
All right. I can't find the direction.
Protection. If you keep flexing, I'm going to. This is what Kid Rock used to sound like.
Well, we threw a little bit of rap over your song. So you're saying that not only does Kid Rock owe Corey for cheese fries, he owes you for this song.
All right,
he owes me for most of the first album, Devil Without a Cause.
I can confirm that, you know, I wasn't like good friends with him, but it was kind of a casual, like,
yeah,
hey, what's up, nod kind of thing. And he was either at the Lantern. This would have been around 1994 or 5, right?
It was earlier than that.
But
at least at that time, probably.
When did he break, though?
94.
Okay. I thought he broke a little later than that, 96
I think
97.
Oh, I thought maybe 95. Maybe 95.
Yeah.
Is when Devil Without a Cause came out. Devil Without a Cause came out after Smokehouse broke up, at least 95.
Kid Rock earlier on had Bob Ritchie, was more of a straight hip-hop thing. And he had like a high top fade.
Yeah.
And he had an album called Grit Sandwiches for Breakfast.
Right, where he sang Balls in Your Mouth.
And then he had one called The Polyfuse Method, where he had a song called Yodeling in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more of a straight up hip hoppy thing. Then he kind of segued from that and grew his hair out. And that's when we knew him. And he had the long blonde hair.
He grew his hair out because of Smokehouse. He started hanging out with us.
Yeah. And the grunge shit was happening.
He wanted a grunge band.
So like
our
90,
lead singer.
93, 94.
Our lead singer, Tim, loved the band Monster Magnet.
Okay.
Yeah.
The first tattoo that Tim got in 1992.
Yeah.
Was a little bull head. Over his nipple, his left nipple.
Yeah.
And underneath it, Tim wrote, I am the bull god.
Okay.
That's Tim's tattoo.
Oh, my God.
From Monster Magnet. Tim Spider
from,
God.
From
Kid
Monster
Rock is going to hunt us down and kill us all.
Yeah.
He will have us murdered.
Oh, yes. Bring it, fucker.
Yeah. Look.
You guys know what this, you know,
this was
a ripoff.
This is Journey.
John Lennon, again, the stickiest of the Beatles, apparently. Apparently he ripped this off. This was a this was a Phil Spector joint. You hearing it?
Oh yeah.
And so this is Christmas.
Yeah, I mean again. It's,
and
it's,
what have you done?
It really does come down to what I was saying. There's
you're
so
the spirit one.
Huh?
Your beloved spirit.
So
well, let me cue that up. You guys listen to this.
Yeah, Spirit, the song is called Taurus.
The Strokes, okay.
This is Tom Petty's American Girl. Of
last night,
well,
she said.
Well, you asked me to cue up one thing, and I can't do the
bit. No, you're good.
I was trying to do.
Spirit and Taurus.
This is Last Night by The Strokes, which, again, I don't think he can really... it's not a. It's a guy playing a guitar. I mean,
these guys
it's not,
are so good for one album.
Well, I actually like
one album. That's it.
That this album's great.
Oh, no, they put out 5 records, and I like 4 of them. So,
oh well, I'm saying
I liked the last one.
I liked this one, and then the other one's
gonna
win.
Tell me if when you listen to Spirit, you hear Led Zeppelin.
I'm getting to it. And then this song, which kind of took the Strokes thing, about 5 years later, and these guys came out. This was from the early days of the show, Corey. Do you remember this? The Blood Arm. He used to play the Blood Arm all the time. I like this. Kind of the same deal. And now there's the current Garage Rock band. They had a little keyboard. And then these next guys, they just speeded it up and made this. This is the Orwell. Same thing.
Well, but you know,
all
but
good.
Again, you're getting into this elemental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Ramones sound kind of like the Ramones.
Now, have either of you heard Taurus by Spirit?
Huh? We're hearing Spirit. It right now.
Have you ever heard it?
I don't know. Probably. I was alive in the 70s.
Corey, have you ever heard this song?
Did I by choice go out and buy a Spirit album? No, I did not do that. But.
John's a big fan of, what is it, the Dr. Sardonicus?
Huh?
Why should we know Spirit, John?
Because of fucking Randy California and the 12 Dreams of Dr. Sardonicus are a great fucking one of a great album. I don't know how far into the song is.
It's not that long a song, so.
Yeah, but you got to understand it's all fucking theatrics.
Well, I'm sure it is. It's the 70s.
It's fucking Spirit. Randy California, motherfuckers. I'm glad somebody got some money for this.
And they did pay, huh? Led Zeppelin? Stairway to Heaven, right? Yeah. Yeah, I have heard this. I didn't hear the minute of bullshit before the riff, but yeah.
Just a small town boy.
And I'll wait without you.
Yep.
I hurt my
Mama,
son.
Why don't you get a job?
I want a new drug.
Yep. Ghostbusters. So anyway, it's exactly the same riff.
We all know Stairway to Heaven, Corey. So
no one needs to hear anymore.
No, we don't.
Especially if you're from Detroit, where there was 30 years of Get the Lead Out.
All right, Kenny. Or capital H. Just because you wanted more, we'll give you more of what you want. We got to get out of here. Why don't we say goodnight?
Is this Madonna?
This is Lady Gaga. We're in Ferndale. You can hear this coming out
of Madonna?
Most windows of most homes in Ferndale, Michigan. All right.
I thought that I was just hearing this coming through the window of your house.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought this was just coming out of your neighbor's house.
This is what the ice cream man plays to get people.
Why are there two guys coming out of that door with glow sticks?
Walk down the street in June.
Yeah.
Man, do I like Lady Gaga.
You do like
Lady Gaga? I do. I like Lady Gaga a lot.
Well, you know.
I can't get mad at her. Like, other similar pop stars, sure. I hate her. I kind of go, yeah.
You know what? You know why? It's because every now and then she'll do some shit where she sings.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck.
She's
really talented.
We were at Lollapalooza in, like, 2007. She was on a side stage in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's this girl in her underwear? Because she had long black hair.
Right.
And Amy was like, oh, she sucks. And I went, this girl's a big whore. She's going to be a star.
Yeah.
She's got what it takes.
It's crazy.
And she was doing paparazzi.
But it's
you know,
crazy.
She was doing like more techno-clashy versions of her songs.
It is really weird how talented she is. If you watch her appearance on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Okay.
Like, her vocal.
She can really sing.
She can really
where
fucking
Taylor
sing.
Swift is not that good.
This is the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt of music.
This is?
So yeah, I mean that's what I mean. I don't
Joel, play something.
I don't think it sucks.
Yeah, play a good song. Take us out on a good song.
Take us out on a good song. What do you want to hear? I got.
What is the band? Was it the Marmalade? Was the band that put out not Obladi? They put out the other one.
Wasn't that Marmalade Boy, the anime cartoon you were thinking?
No, there's a band that covered the Beatles without knowing what they were doing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea what you're doing.
Look this story.
Let's listen to the Planet of the Apes theme while we're figuring out.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Oh, it's going to play the theme close.
Get your hands off of me, you damn dirty apes. You cut his brain.
All right, well, let's just leave on this then. I think let's just leave on Boogie in Your Butt and we'll all be happy.
All right, that's good. Yeah. Boogie in Your Butt.
We did this bit before, but hey, it never gets old. In light of his career resurgence, Eddie Murphy's Boogie in Your Butt.
Well, I mean, how could his career not surge after that SNL appearance?
30 seconds of awkwardness.
Oh. Holy shit.
Who was that guy pretending to
that?
Be Eddie Murphy?
Some guy stole Eddie Murphy's skin and crawled into it.
I even thought it was, I mean, you know,
I ain't putting no boogie
was
in
that,
nobody.
Was that Robert Durst trying to set up an alibi?
But he does seem like a guy who, like, he sold his soul to the devil. Doesn't it feel like I think it's a thing where he just.
I don't think it's clever, but I did like the fact that I wrote during that episode of SNL 40, Eddie Murphy is Andy Kaufman's best character. Because that fucking 60 seconds was frightening.
We got to get out of here. Thanks.
Oh, you know what it was? The marmalade. They Obladi Blada wasn't a single.
What are you going to. Did you stop recording?
No, I'm still recording.
Oh. I was just wondering how long we went with this one. 2 hours?
I don't know.
Obladi Blada wasn't released as a single in America,
right,
or the
wasn't.
UK.
Oh, so yeah, another.
And the Marmalade covered it,
right,
and had a number one
they
hit.
They covered it
before
had a number
it was
one
released
hit,
by the Beatles as a single.
They, yeah, they wouldn't release the songs. Yeah, they think they got. Is it the story that they got like a pressing, like a test pressing?
Yeah, they got a test pressing
of the White Album
it.
Or it was on, yeah.
Oh, and then they covered it.
They covered it and made a hit
well,
out of it.
Well, the Beatles, some of the stuff on those early Beatles albums was done by other people before the Beatles did it, some of the album tracks.
Right.
Because they would get to, they were making so many albums a year that they would get to them, and they'd go, well, we gave this one away to some singer who
right.
had like a number 20 hit with it, and then put it on the album.
Yeah.
And there's a few examples of that. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, it wasn't like, didn't Paul just give Badfinger songs?
Yeah, he gave Badfinger, you know, the famous one was...
Day After Day, or...
No, oh, God.
Anyway.
But that's Paul, a fucking... There was a time when that was almost what you did. You had songwriters,
right, yeah.
you had bands,
well, yeah,
and you had people trading songs.
Brian Epstein had all those other acts that he signed.
Right.
And the Beatles would just give those. Because like A World Without Love when they gave that to
Peter and Gordon.
Peter and Gordon. Yeah, that was a McCarthy
But I mean, song. That's you know that's the way that was at that time.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
Like, Nilsson's a good example.
Yeah, Nilsson gave away all.
Gave away all of his fucking
songs. And then
he
ended up recording them anyway.
And then he recorded them later on. And then he did, this is fucking mine
then
anyway.
And he did an album of Randy Newman songs.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That, when Randy Newman had a lot of songs covered, that's when you know who's good.
Yeah.
Because, like, David Bowie gave All the Young Dudes to
Mott the Hoople.
And Bowie was doing Springsteen songs.
Let me tell you, when I saw Mott the Hoople, they were not young dudes.
No.
There was no Mott.
But John...
Mott had died. Hoople was gone.
So it wasn't even all the old dudes. It was like few of the old dudes. Some of the young dudes.
Mott and Hoople were gone. The was there.
Yeah. The was still there. Mott passed away. Hoople had a heart attack about 10 years before I saw him.
A few of the young dudes.
It was Royal Oak Music Theater. It was like 96.
None of the young dudes.
My buddy tells me about when he saw... Who's the Werewolves of London guy?
Warren Zevon.
He saw Warren Zevon at the Main.
Yeah.
That they would do concerts at the Main.
Yeah.
And he was so drunk and he fell off the stage at the Main.
Yeah.
This was in the 70s.
I went and saw Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. in 97.
Yeah, it's always good to see that.
How many seasons were left? Was it?
It was just Frankie Valli.
Just Frankie Valli.
Because at one point he was doing his bit, and I always tell this story. I think it's so funny. He goes, they've got cameras showing everybody all the other players in the band.
Yeah.
And he goes, this one I'm gonna sing this song and I'm gonna send it out to all the guys in the band because. Growing up in New York in the 1950s, these guys know. And like right as he said that, they showed the keyboard player who was like a 20-year-old Hawaiian kid.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up in New York.
No, I love that. Well, because it's all, you know, Paul McCartney's got a young band. And
yeah.
You know what I love? Doo-wop.
Oh, yeah.
Every
those
year
guys,
for PBS Pledge Drive,
yeah,
they bust out a live doo-wop concert. They all have
to
be 80.
Listen, that Frankie Valli show, I do not know why I was there, but it was Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, and you know who? You guess a million.
Give me the venue.
Take the Pine Knob.
Pine Knob, okay.
DC. Take a guess at the opening band.
Fabian.
Just, nope.
Shit. That's close.
Del Shannon.
Rare Earth.
Oh!
What the fuck was I doing there?
By the way, two good suggestions for a bill there. That
yeah,
got
no, absolutely. I don't know why Rare Earth was on that fucking bill.
I got, well, but those are great. Those lawn tickets. Like,
but I mean, like,
there were like $5.
Rare Earth became famous because no one wanted to listen to Motown songs when they were being done by black people.
Did you ever see the thing where like it was like a 60s revival, a hippie fest? And it was like one band, but different guys would come out and sing. And like Mickey Dolenz was on it. And one of the Badfinger guys was on it. Yeah.
I like when you can go see Peter Noon.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's Herman's Hermits.
Yeah.
And but it's often it's just Peter Noon.
Right. Yeah.
And you wouldn't know if Barry Wigwam was there or not.
They're not.
You wouldn't care.
In all likelihood.
But I love those like $5 ticket.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We saw Al Green.
Yeah.
and B.B. King
okay.
at Pine Knob for like $7.
I'm not sure.
And B.B. Really, King barely could move.
Like, I'm honestly, when I saw Mott the Hoople, I'm being honest. I think like Ian Hunter was the only one left.
Yeah, probably.
That was it.
I've seen Ian Hunter on stuff. I mean, yeah. He's, you know.
But there was no other Mott, and there was no Hoople.
When is the Smokehouse reunion tour?
That'll never happen.
What if Joel Radio presents?
That'll never happen.
Smokehouse.
Never happened.
No?
Featuring Bob Ritchie.
We discussed it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think so. We discussed it.
When you'd only been broken up for 7 years.
We broke up in 95. In 2005, we talked about if we would ever do it. And Tim and I both agreed we would never do it.
Why would you never do it?
Because I hated it. Our last show. We were playing a song. We did our last song. And I walked off stage and went home and never talked to them.
There was a lot of tumultuous band politics.
Maybe me and Corey can work on that.
How
maybe
about a Greenwald?
Oh, yeah, because you two have. Yeah.
When we do our next big event.
How about a Greenwald?
It is the 10th
reunion.
Anniversary nope. of Joel Radio.
Nope.
No? Nothing?
John nope. burning down the bridges.
John, nope.
I might do Albion Moonlight.
I might do John's very
Albion Moonlight and the Crane Stanton Jr. Orchestra with the Young Christians Choir might do another show.
Am I out of line for asking for a new top tennies? Is that completely crazy?
Yeah, right.
Is there any possibility of that?
I interviewed all my relatives and friends.
You're out of them. You interviewed my wife.
You, not a top 10.
Your wife, my parents, my nephew, my sister. I'm done.
You're out. You could interview the trivia team.
I can interview the trivia team.
Oh, God.
Well, what can I tell you, John?
Well, we're out of guests, too, and we're out of show.
Get me out of this fucking room.
I'm trying.
God,
here's a song.
Smells like Italian shorts.
Cut. Print. Roll tape.
That's the best you got, huh?
We can't beat that.
You can't beat the Italian. Now, if you guys got back together, this would be one of the songs you should cover.
This is one of our songs.
I never mentioned it, but
Kid Rock stole this from us and recorded this MIDI version for you.
Whatever, steal this, but...
He was at the eatery and he heard you playing this.
Now, if another podcast stole this song, they'd be ripping it off from us.
That's true.
Because I ripped it off from this guy.
That's right.
So if there's anybody else...
You didn't pay anybody for this, did you?
It's Creative Commons.
Oh, there you go. So no.
No. But I've told the story of this guy on the show. You know the story? He made a mashup album of Pavement and Jay-Z called the Slack Album, which is really fun. And I was a fan of this, and this was another project that he did called Quel Fromage.
It always, this song always makes me sad.
It does.
Makes me think about riding off into the sunset.
Oh my.
John knows his buzz is wearing off. That's why the song reminds him of that.
I drank a lot of my tartar.
It's all right. It's warm out, man.
I wish I could get drunk.
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day in a few hours.
I have to work tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. Who would make you do such a thing?
The bar.
Ah, well. Good luck. They're going to be busy. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Joel. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I started a fight between you and Corey.
Well, you know, at least...
We didn't take the bait all the way.
Well, listen... When you fight over the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, no one will say the fight was in vain.
No,
I think at least we have good reasons for it.
Yeah,
and I think, you know.
I'm just sorry that you really got mad about the Laugh Fest thing.
I'm not mad.
You were.
I'm fine.
No, but you
I
were.
Was setting it up a little different than
no, you were.
We're almost out. Stop
you
stirring the pot.
You're a little different than you would set it up. That's all.
It's all fine.
We're
almost out of this.
Fine. Hey, listen.
We're out of this Capicola and ball smelling room. And now.
Yeah, it doesn't smell like fucking strawberry licorice, you fat fuck. Good night, everybody.
It's good licorice.
It was all right.
Good night, people.
Good night. Kid Rock, if you steal this, we're coming. It's got a little pause at the end, a little moment. Let's go. Is it really it? It's really it.
Put on some fucking pants like an adult.
I will. Well, it's cold out now. Pants are coming on. Here come the pants! All right. Goodbye. Good night.